about.
You got to put it in the perspective.
No!
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 No! No! No! Wait! Wait! No way! No way!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Well, let me put it this way. All energy in the universe is expressed in motion. All motion is expressed in waves. All waves are curved. So where does the straight lines come from to make the platonic solids? There are no straight lines. So when I took the flower of life and opened it properly, I found a whole new wave conjugations that expose the in-between spaces. It's the thing that holds us all together.
Yeah. And now.
You know, everything is not an anecdote. You have to discriminate. You choose things that are funny or mildly amusing or interesting. You're a miracle. Your stories have none of that. They're not even amusing accidentally. By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It is Kevin in the Morning with Allie and Jensen. It's Thursday morning, the 23rd of January.
Hello.
Hello.
Walked into the studio, heard Jensen talking about Zion.
Yes, what an incredible debut.
For people who don't know his story, let them know.
Zion Williamson was originally a high school basketball player who got so much attention even in high school that he was sort of the only talked about player of his class for a while. He was just superior because his physique is almost unseen before.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He is a massive top of his body. I posted a picture of myself when I was 19 last night where I had frosted tips and some sort of weird choker, kind of like little metal ball choker.
Oh.
But the
twins?
Yeah, the focus of it is that I was a twig for good reason, because that's what you're supposed to be at 19. Zion Williamson then went on to play college basketball and be the best player in college basketball for 1 year. Then
by far.
Yeah. And blew through his own shoe, if you remember that story. That hit mainstream. So he was drafted by the Pelicans first. There was no question. And then he got injured during the offseason, which happens to a lot of players his age with that kind of body type. They're not ready to play, so they groom them. And yesterday was his first game. First three quarters looked serviceable. Mm-hmm. Looks a little out of shape.
By the way, when you go to the NBA, it's a whole different level from college. I mean, there are a lot of players it takes 2 or 3 years to sort of start getting it.
Absolutely. And Zion... you know, also the other thing you have to remember is that in college you're playing against guys who mostly don't go on to go pro.
Yeah.
Now you're playing the best players in the world from college and from the world abroad.
Yeah.
So it's just different competition.
I assume you're playing players that don't want you as a incoming...
Oh, they want to mess with you. Yeah.
They want to stop your...
Yeah, they don't want to be dunked on by the 19-year-old.
Right, exactly.
And so a lot of attention on him. And last night, first three quarters looked serviceable. And then for some reason, in the fourth quarter, he came in and did the most impressive debut in NBA history. He scored 17 points in the fourth quarter. 16 of them, I think, came within 2 minutes and 30 seconds of each other.
Wow.
He was on fire. And not, you know, people look at him and see his highlights and assume he's going to be dunking everything.
Because he's an amazing
player. His body and his jumping and et cetera. Yeah. But no, he was from 3-point range, from mid range. He was just such an impressive. It's going to be incredible to watch this kid.
I'm excited about that.
He was awesome.
It's an old world where only the big guys could dunk, and then they throw it to the little guys who can shoot.
Kevin Durant
shoots 3 points.
Kevin Durant plays point guard.
Yeah, he does.
So it's not, you know, it's basketball is a weird world. Yeah, Allie, thank you for the contribution.
Allie?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I'm just super excited to watch Zion. And he's going to really flourish.
Very good.
Once he really gets in shape, because right now he's not, he's going to be unstoppable.
Very good, Allie.
Uh-huh.
Very good contribution.
Yeah, thank you.
And sometimes it's like I'm working with Jim Rome.
Right? Yeah,
it really is.
It is.
Yeah. He's on the Pelicans, though?
Yes.
What a stupid name.
That is a stupid
name. The Pelicans!
It sort of does suck if you go into the draft, because the bad teams get the first picks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so if you're good, you go to a bad team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of players...
Luckily, the Pelicans at the time when he was drafted weren't that bad. Then they lost Anthony Davis, and now they're sort of a rebuilding team.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll see NFL players going to the NFL, and they go, I'm not playing for the Bills. Or whoever, the Browns.
Yeah.
And they end up getting traded and whatever. But, yeah, you don't usually go to a contender.
You don't want to go to a team that's losing guys. Like, you should keep track of them, right? Were they on a trip when they lost to Anthony?
No, Al, he went to a different team.
He came to Lakers.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Anthony Davis, yeah.
Wow, that was a far walk.
I don't know if you've ever seen...
It's like we're working with Jim Rome.
It is. Have you ever seen the Pelicans? This is the Pelicans mascots. So they have...
I know the baby one on the side.
And that's a pelican. They have a big mouthed pelican.
Wait, they're New Orleans?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I like the baby because it's terrifying.
Yeah, it is.
Oh,
it's a very
okay.
scary mascot.
All right, no,
yes.
Now I'm in. I had no idea that the Pelicans were in New Orleans.
Yes.
Okay.
It's like we're working with Jim Rome.
It is.
And that baby, though, remember when it was just showing up at people's houses?
It was terrifying.
That's so good.
Yeah. I think they knew they had a very scary mascot on their hands.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
Why didn't they call them the Big Babies?
The New Orleans Big Babies?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sure that would strike fear in the hearts of their enemy.
Yeah, I think I would have been into it.
Like the Pelicans?
Well, that's also a good point.
The Pelicans are known for, Pelicans, the bird, is known for like picking up trash. They're not like elegant birds. So Big Babies could have been good.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone.
There was a basketball player named Big Baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Glenn Davis.
Nice.
Good job.
Yeah.
He was Boston. Is that how you knew?
I'm back, baby.
Yeah. Boston player. Is that? Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure, whatever.
But then he was.
A Clipper? He was.
Yeah, was lost.
What?
He was lost, she said. She believes a lot of players get lost at sea or on
this
the way
weird.
To games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about today's show, shall we?
He's a good guy, and this is a good shrimp.
All right.
Great.
CM Punk.
Yes.
Will be joining us in studio. Talking about WWE backstage and a lot more in that world.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited about that. We have you have a tattoo based on a movie.
Yeah, yesterday we exposed that I have more than one tattoo based on films, and not films that are like very, very popular.
No,
films that are popular to me.
It's funny because before you told me you liked that movie, I was the only person that I knew in my entire life that liked that movie or heard of it.
Yeah, based on my incessant tweeting about it, I think that I might be the world's number one expert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On The Burbs.
Yeah.
The movie's The Burbs.
Tom Hanks film.
It is a great movie.
It's great.
But
yeah.
Didn't really get the notice that it deserved.
Well, I'm ready to give it.
There's a mother that's addicted to eating baby powder.
I'm sorry?
And also a fast food report.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And Dr. Drew's going to join us. He's going to be in studio today. We're going to do Ask Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
And we're going to ask...
people can ask their own questions?
Yes. Like, how are we going to die from drinking a Corona?
Well, that's
that
not,
kind of
I don't,
stuff.
I don't think that's what the
exactly
virus is.
Exactly what it is. But.
Well, we'll have him clarify. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Well, good to have him then.
All right.
So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We will come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin in the Morning with Allie and Jensen. And about 10 till the top of the hour, every hour, we take a look at what's happening. Here's Allie.
Guys, according to The Hollywood Reporter, a sequel to Marvel's billion-dollar grossing Captain Marvel is officially in the works.
I'm in.
Yeah, you might want to press that like 15 more times.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's insane. How could you not? How could you not do a sequel to this movie? It made you $1 billion.
Yeah,
they have tapped rising scribe Megan McDonnell, who is a staff writer on the Marvel-based series WandaVision, to write the script. Mm. Apparently, they're going to move it from the 90s to present day. So that's kind of the only thing we know about it at this point.
All
but
right.
They are eyeing a potential 2022 release.
We don't know the star.
It's going to be Brie Larson.
Okay. Yeah. I'll need to know the date so I could put it in my calendar.
Right now, just if you could kind of
block out
the whole year, 2022.
Can't do that right now, but let me know when you get it.
No, I will for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah. So that's exciting news for Captain Marvel heads. Good times.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Good times. So Vanessa Hudgens was dating a gentleman for like 9 years, right? Mm-hmm. Austin Butler.
If it's not his name, it's perfect.
Yeah, it
sounds like,
yeah,
it sounds like she would date an Austin Butler.
Yeah.
I had no idea she dated a man for that long. I had no idea. Because you just don't hear about her.
Yeah, true.
In any gossip magazine, she's just kind of living her life and being kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, my God, she's going on a date with Kyle Kuzma. She's at dinner with him. He's on the Lakers.
Yep.
And they're having a cool little dinner in Brooklyn. And people are like, she's on a date with Kyle Kuzma. And then last night, showed up to watch the Lakers play at MSG.
All right.
I mean, would that count as two dates?
Yes.
I don't think
I'm sure they hung out after
the game. I don't think
the
second one. Okay.
I'm sure.
I'm screaming.
Her go to watch a game, I'm not sure counts. But
if it does, if I have dated so many athletes.
Very impressive.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I just want her happy because I find her adorable and delightful.
You're right. She does stay out of all the scandal.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, you know, if you want to have a very steady and firm relationship, mm-hmm. date an athlete.
Yeah, especially the NBA when mm-hmm. they're traveling kind of more than any other.
That's what everyone says.
Team, yeah. If you want to date an athlete, stay away from NBA and baseball. Because baseball, they're at a city for a longer stretch, so mm-hmm. they tend to have set chicks in those cities.
Here's the thing. With social media, though,
I mean, can just get one.
Yeah, I mean, Instagram, yeah. man.
Right.
Yeah.
Slide into the DMs.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm staying at the Parker Meridian.
Yep.
I just see that on TV shows. Room 402, come on up.
Right.
And then she shows up, and you're like, damn, son.
And baseball players are cheaters.
Yes. Yes. So, yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Heads up.
All yeah. definitions, yeah.
You want to be, I think, with a football player because they fly in, they play the game, they're out. Mm-hmm. So you know where they're at most of the time.
Okay.
And there's no mm-hmm. abuse stuff going on over there.
No,
so.
They're fine.
You want to be the hockey guy.
No, you don't.
I've heard hockey dudes.
Oh, they play.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
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 So
remember Harry O's in Manhattan Beach?
Yeah, but still.
Okay. Oh, okay. I didn't. Mm-hmm. I didn't take that into consideration. Right. Okay.
What we're saying is, right. date like an electrician, or like something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A noble profession.
Absolutely.
But Vanessa Hudgens, good luck.
Good luck to you. I mean, it's worked out so far for the Kardashians.
Yes.
Woo, guys! I feel like we're missing out on the croc train. I don't think there's a croc train.
Say it again.
The croc train.
What?
The
that?
Footwear Crocs.
Oh.
Like that everybody makes fun of.
And what do they put on top of them?
Giblets? Jibbles?
Giblets.
Giblets.
Yeah. Or gibbets. Gibbets.
Gibbets.
Gibbets.
Gibbets.
Yeah.
Remember I said that and you were so annoyed with the way I said
crazy.
Gibbets?
It made me feel...
Those
I had
are
goosebumps.
The little charms
yes.
that you put on the Crocs.
It's whatever the opposite of ASMR is when you say gibbets.
Gibbets?
No, it's not good. It's bad.
So I get those every year for Christmas as long as... I make a promise that I will not wear them out of the house because they're very comfortable.
Okay, see, explain this to me because people that like Crocs love Crocs.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Okay, so explain this to me. Super comfortable.
Yeah.
Do you wear them gardening or do you just wear them?
Oh, yeah, I do a lot of gardening.
Okay, well, I'm just wondering where you would wear them.
Around the house.
Like a slipper?
Yeah.
What are they? Because I've never even put them on my feet, but they look like plastic.
Yeah,
they don't look
I'm wondering
good
how they would
they're
be more
plastic,
comfortable.
But there's some padding on the underneath side,
okay.
so you just feel like you're sort of walking on pillows.
Whoa.
Wow.
Sort of.
Sign them up, you guys. Crocs, if you're listening.
I might have to buy me a
and
pair.
And they're warm. They're very comfortable.
They're warm. There's holes in them.
No, but it has like fur on the inside of it.
Okay, what Crocs
it's
are
real
you wearing?
Fur.
But what if I walk out?
Okay, I don't think you're wearing Crocs.
I don't either. Are you wearing pillows?
Yes.
Wait, here's the thing I'm asking.
Pillows with duct tape.
The top of it is completely exposed, so if I go outside
with
them...
Yeah, with little holes
in
them.
I'm not walking in the snow. I'm inside my house.
But you're saying there's fur.
Yeah, fake fur. Yeah, there's all kinds.
Mm. Okay, so you're not wearing, like, basic Crocs. You've got cool ones with fur.
I don't know. I don't know where the level of...
I didn't know they had fur.
I didn't know where the level of Crocs go.
I didn't know how rich you were, Kevin. Because now I'm like, oh, he has the fancy
what
Crocs.
What if there aren't fur on Crocs? He gets them, like, special made. He sends them to a furrier.
A what?
Is that what's
that
called?
A, thing.
A furrier? Really?
You guys,
can I just tell him how many animals I went killed for this?
And you specify what kind of animal?
That's how you decide
you
the cost.
Sicko.
Should I buy Crocs?
Well,
yes.
Here's why I bring this
Wait,
up.
Wait, you like being comfortable?
I love it.
And then do.
Huh. Okay.
Just don't wear them out. They're embarrassing.
Are right. there Crocs with fur? Are you looking right now?
I'm looking right now. I don't see the fur ones yet, but I do see... Do you have ones that are exposed at the foot or
no.
closed? Closed. So I'm going to get the closed one.
Well, yeah. That's the only way. Like clogs.
Right. Yes, like clogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to get.
Yeah, okay. They're great.
Well, here's why I bring it up. They have a new face for Crocs. What mm-hmm. they didn't hear this segment because obviously it would be Kevin.
Yeah.
And I did not see this coming.
All right. New face of Crocs.
Priyanka Chopra.
Hmm.
One of the most bankable stars in the world is now the face of Crocs. She's in their new promos wearing orange Crocs and a matching cardigan in the new Come As You Are campaign. Several other celebs are coming out as secret Crocs fans, like Kevin Ryder of the Kevin in the Morning Show, as well as Zooey Deschanel. So I feel like maybe I'm missing the Croc train. And I mean, give a call right now.
No, please don't need that.
Hey, well, we all know that Post Malone sells his own Crocs.
And they sell out in minutes.
Yeah, so I mean, we're just not on the train. Obviously, Kevin is.
I need to find out if there are fur Crocs or if Kevin just thinks there's fur.
It's fake fur. It's not fur. It's just
No. I'm not saying it's
fuzzy.
There are Crocs with fur.
You're saying like you have like a little. They're called the Mammoth Lux or whatever. Like they have.
I don't know the name. Although that does sound terrible.
I enjoy it.
Go ahead.
So you're saying they're like straight up fur. Like you're saying something like this, like where it is lined inside and out with kind of like a boot fur.
Yeah, but not that extreme. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not like it. They fold it over like that. That's extreme. Let's not be ridiculous.
I showed him like a snow boot of a Croc. Yeah. But you're saying it's somewhat.
Yeah.
Somewhat.
Okay. Listen, we're going to get to the bottom
of
this.
We're not. There's nothing to get to the bottom of.
We are doing nothing more today
but
Croc
talk.
You
two have no idea what you're doing with shoes.
Croc talk.
So.
You've turned into Croc talk.
Some birthdays for you. Tito Ortiz, Tiffany Amber Thiessen, Mariska Hargitay, and Frances McDormand. I bet all of them wear Crocs.
Right?
None of us knew.
Croc train.
And that's what's happening.
Billie Eilish on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. That song is called Everything I Wanted. It's Kevin in the Morning with Ali and Jensen. May I introduce you to 44-year-old Lisa Anderson?
Please.
She eats baby powder.
I'm sorry?
I take back that I want to meet her?
Too late.
Okay.
She eats baby powder?
Yes.
Like Johnson & Johnson's baby powder?
Yes.
Eats it.
The white stuff you put on a baby's bottom.
Yes.
Some dudes put on their junk. You got to stop doing that, dudes. Wait, what? Are we
That's
talking
a
about?
Side note, really, okay. though. I don't know.
Yeah, I think eating it is worse, but go on.
Okay. You're right.
So let's just listen to her and she'll tell you her story.
Hi, my name's Lisa Anderson. I'm 44 years old, and I've had this problem where I eat the baby powder about 15 years now. It started off as a pregnancy craving.
See?
She's been eating baby powder for 15 years.
We talked about this off the air, what pregnant women are so drawn to because they're getting, like, they're lacking in some nutrients, so they go for it.
But what nutrient does baby powder have?
Yeah, I don't know if
it's high in protein.
Yeah. It's not like people that eat clay or dirt.
Right.
They're getting something from it.
Are they?
I don't know.
I mean, they're supposed to be. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what baby powder would bring you, but I also don't know the nutrients of clay, so.
She has she spent an estimated 8,000 pounds, which is about $10,500, on baby powder alone.
Whoa. She's more than eating it. She's engulfing it.
Yes.
Just the smell of it. And then.
By the way, smell of it, I like. I'm with her there. I like the smell of it.
Sure. $10,000 worth?
No. I just like the smell of it.
Okay.
But my part stops there.
Yes.
It would grow on to where I'd use it, like, on my child, and it'd be like I'd like taste it off my hands, like the dusting of it.
So she'd get some on her hands after she used it on her child, and then she would just sort of like lick her.
Okay, lick the visual like of you cat. Doing it right now, I can't.
Lick her hand.
I can't.
Like a cat.
Just stop.
Like a cat.
Yeah.
No.
I'm telling you this is
no.
true.
It'd just be like the smell. I'd be constantly smelling it and doing the tasting, and then as years have gone on, it's got worse where I'm actually just eating it now, and it's
okay. Now she's going to describe what is it about baby powder that she likes.
Okay.
And this is it. Why are you struggling?
My stomach is hurting. I'm thinking about just eating chalk, basically.
Yeah.
It's like a strange taste. It's not a horrible taste.
That's what I'm looking for.
I just want to eat something that's not horrible.
It's a strange taste and it's not horrible.
Oh, dear.
She's clearly, there's something going on as to why her body is craving baby powder.
It's a disorder called, is it pica?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, this is.
I don't know what that stands for, but how did you know that?
How did you know that, Dr. McKay?
It's people that feel compelled to eat things with no nutritional value. And this is essentially what she's doing.
Ugh. She would eat it off the back of her hand every 30 minutes. And kept it a secret from her partner for like 15 years. She would sneak away to the bathroom, have some baby powder, and come back out.
Oh,
well, to others it might be a horrible taste, a very chalky taste, and a nice texture. And
it's got a nice texture.
Okay,
so it's got that going for it.
Yeah.
when I'm like, you know, when I'm holding it and that, and it's like my mouth goes really watery where I'm craving for it, and I can do bottles and bottles and bottles of it.
Can you imagine bowls and bowls and bowls of it?
Like soup.
How is it not, there's got to be something in it that is not good for you and could be harming you chemical-wise.
You remember the show My Strange Addiction on TLC? We love because it was all of these stories.
Yes.
And every single one, the doctor would say, this is bad for you. You need to stop.
Yes.
And then they would say, yeah, I'd like to someday. And then they'd keep eating it.
Basically, she smells wonderful.
I bet.
She really does.
I wonder if never mind.
Nope.
When she farts, does like powder come out?
My Chemical Romance on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It's Kevin in the morning. It's Allie. It's Jensen. It's 6:51. Mm-hmm. Fast food report coming up just after the top of the hour.
Yeah.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm just saving my energy.
All right, got it.
Is baby powder part of any of it?
No, okay. No. No one has jumped onto that trend yet.
Okay, good. And also CM Punk joins us in the 7 o'clock hour.
Excellent.
My guy.
That's coming up. First, Allie, what's happening?
Well, HBO has ordered a 6-part music documentary film series from Bill Simmons.
I'm sorry, read that again. Nope. Just that sentence again.
HBO has ordered a 6-part music documentary film series from Bill Simmons.
Please, I'd rather sit in my bed, like, just staring at a wall.
Here's what you're failing to recognize. 30 for 30, one of the greatest documentary shows on sports. They're just going to do it with music.
I guess.
Why do you hate it?
Because how many songs can you write about the Patriots? You know what I mean?
It's only music. It's not about sports.
Like 30 for 30, but music.
Yes!
Which was basically behind the music.
Why are you such a hater?
Well, that's true, though. It is behind the music.
Each one will concentrate on pivotal moments or stretches for a popular artist or band, an iconic album, or the music business as a whole.
I wouldn't expect him to be behind this.
Unless he picks, like, Journey and Heart.
I feel it's his kind of staple behind it.
Right.
And then he's going to have different people in charge of it, just like 30 for 30.
Okay.
There are great music critics that work at his website.
At Ringer.
Yeah. So that makes sense. Sean Fennessy and Shea Serrano. There are guys who do great stuff. It's just I don't want him picking or... I mean,
Listen,
just produce it.
Let's be honest. As long as he's not on camera, can we all just be happy?
Yes. That is a step in the right direction.
Because good God. What were you thinking, HBO?
I've never seen anyone have a problem looking at the camera.
It's so uncomfortable in his own skin, yet such... an ego.
I think he's a pussy.
It's amazing to me how that works. But that's interesting. And you heard the rumors now swirling that Spotify is looking to purchase
them.
The Ringer, which, I mean, dude's set for life is what we're saying.
Yeah. Yes, he should unionize their writers as they strike for it. Basically.
They, I believe, are unionized now.
They're hoping, not fully. Still having some issues. The Spotify purchase brought that up.
Interesting.
But anyway, pay the writers if you're so rich.
No. Okay. That's how you stay rich, Jensen.
Right.
How are you not understanding this?
Correct, right.
Come on.
It's finance 101, man.
Good point.
Listen, I got my own issue with some unions, but I won't get into that.
Oh, that would be much different what's happening.
Much different. But good Lord. Hey, let's talk about the Super Bowl, shall we?
Okay.
What gets you to a Super Bowl party? Is it the game? Is it the food? Is it the halftime? Is it being social?
Everything but the halftime.
Okay.
Yeah, I enjoy... I do enjoy
people?
The Super Bowl. Food, okay. People, such commercials, I like halftime, too.
I just don't care about it. It's not that I hate it. I just don't care about it.
Yeah,
so it's the time I get up and go get food or whatever.
A rare moment for pop culture community. Everyone's watching the same thing.
Okay.
Which doesn't happen a lot.
Well, food is officially more important than the game when it comes to reasons for attending a Super Bowl party.
I'm down with that.
Mm-hmm.
The top reasons on getting together for the biggest sporting day of the year... Food topped the list, 56%. 54% said just simply being social, while less than half said the reason they were going was to watch the game. I found that interesting.
I mean, yeah, it makes sense.
But
everybody loves food. Not everybody loves football.
If they're, just from my own personal experience, if it was a game that I knew back when I watched football and I was a Patriots fan, one that I was concerned about, I wouldn't go to a Super Bowl party because I wanted to watch the game hear and just...
Well,
I don't want
do
people
that.
Around
yeah.
me.
That would be a bad idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I made a mistake. I went to one. And it was the season where they were undefeated.
Right.
And then, I thought, there's no way they're losing this.
Right,
I will venture out of my home.
And converse with people. Right.
I will talk to people. Yeah. I'll eat chips. Hey, sure. What's that dip you brought, Cynthia? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And guess what? They lost.
That's on you. Right.
They sure did
That's
lose.
That's on you.
Goddamn Cynthia.
Eli Manning.
Oh,
glad
Eli
you're
Manning,
retiring.
Yeah. Not Cynthia.
No, Cynthia's a bitch, though.
Okay.
That dip was not good.
F Cynthia.
Yeah.
Not worth it.
Do you you don't watch football anymore. We know that. Would you still be interested in the Super Bowl, or you just don't?
Oh, I'll go to a Super Bowl party because now I can eat dip. Not Cynthia's, because she's a whore. But I would eat dip.
Right.
I would chit-chat. I'd be social. It would
sure.
be fun because
okay.
I wouldn't be caring what was happening on the screen.
Yeah, it's
granted,
different. It's different. If you want to watch the game, for the most part, you don't go to a Super Bowl party.
Yeah.
I'm going to glance over, though. They show Jimmy G. Mm-hmm. I'm watching.
Yeah, no, I get it.
He is handsome.
He is.
We have talked about this. Very handsome. You guys, I read this story, and I have so many questions. There's no rule that says you have to be wearing all your clothing when you clock into work.
What?
This is in Italy. Italian police officer Alberto Miraglia was caught on camera stamping his time card wearing only a t-shirt and underwear in the town of San Remo. He then left and went to get dressed in his nearby apartment. He was charged with defrauding the state of public funds.
So he just wanted to check in on time.
Yes.
And then go
And then finish getting dressed at his house.
Wow.
Here's my question. Okay, but he was acquitted of the charge when a judge ruled that it was legitimate for an officer to clock in at the start of his shift and then go home and finish getting dressed.
How is that legitimate?
None of that makes sense. But my bigger question, he's clocking in only a t-shirt and underwear. Then he heads home to change. Is he walking through the town in just his skivvies and a t-shirt?
I mean,
or
I would hope so.
Back in his car.
I would
right?
hope so.
This is so weird to me.
Yeah.
And the judge upheld it.
The judge is like, no, he could totally clock in, then go home and change.
That's not working.
That's
no!
so weird.
They're saying that putting on your outfit is part of your work
day. It isn't.
Day.
That's absurd.
I don't know.
So when we were in high school or whatever and you had the early classes, you could show up.
Right.
Walk in really quick, underwear, shirt, be right back, then finish changing, then come back for class?
Yeah, I don't think that's the same.
I like it.
Well,
I think maybe it's just when a uniform is involved.
If any kids are listening, try it.
No, don't do that.
Allie McKay
kids.
Is saying, from
kids,
Kevin in the
Allie
morning.
Didn't say that.
Look, everything's worth a try, right?
Yeah. No.
You
don't
you
know.
Be the first.
No.
You think
don't
someone
know?
Told Rosa Parks, sit in the, you know, someone's got to try it.
Well, sit in the what?
Sit in the back.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was
that
like,
as well.
Where was he going? Sit in the, you know.
Well, I'm just saying, someone's got to try it. You can't be nervous the whole time. Kids, go to school, check in, and then check out, and come back later.
I think that's solid advice.
Thank you,
I
Kevin.
Don't think it is.
Yeah.
I'm terrified.
Be the Rosa Parks of your high school is what I'm saying.
All right.
I'm not positive I'm on that. I'm not supporting that one.
Yeah,
I don't never, ever trust Whitey.
Listen, if you live in a town, you want Netflix to come and shoot movies there, put up big buildings, that type of thing. A year after setting up its first major U.S. production hub in New Mexico by snagging ABQ Studios in Albuquerque, Netflix has spent more than $150 million in the state across a half dozen productions. And prior to signing the deal, Netflix was aiming at bringing $1 billion in production to the state over a decade. Mm-hmm. I mean, you want Netflix to come to your
Agreed.
Town and set up shop.
And I assume they hire a lot of people, too.
Oh,
they do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, great. Change the whole economy.
That'd be great.
Yes. The answer is yes. Because in the past, I'm just saying, I wanted to bring up, in the past, they have ruined cities filming movies. Not Netflix, but, you know, over the decades, you've heard stories of people coming into small towns and bringing their set and leaving it worse than they came.
Just sort of destroying it.
Yeah. And so in cases like this, they've been very... Los Angeles, we're running out of stages.
Yeah.
They're so full because there's too much TV.
Wait, they
know.
Make TV shows in Los Angeles?
Well, not that
not
many.
Many.
I mean,
not
you're
as many
going
anymore.
To Utah, you're going to Canada, you're going to New Mexico.
New Orleans,
Atlanta.
Yeah. But, you know, that's great for Netflix. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if you give them a bigger tax cut, they would stay in town and help our economy. But no, we're too busy talking about the Dodgers. That's what our city council's doing.
Retroactively giving them the World Series trophy.
Listen, I don't even know if they have anything to do with what I'm talking about, but I'm still mad at them.
Good for you.
Some birthdays for you. Tiffany Amber Thiessen Is she Tiffany Amber Thiessen? Yeah. I thought she changed her name somehow.
Oh, she'll always be Tiffany Amber Thiessen to me.
All right. Mariska Hargitay, Frances McDormand, and Tito Ortiz. And that's what's happening.
Jensen, how do we get started on the fast food report?
Well, you guys realize that every time that a QSR, it's what we call it in the business, service restaurant, every time that they announce something new, I was asking you guys, have you seen what's going on at KFC? Have you seen what's going on at El Pollo Loco?
But it's almost never here.
No. It's always in other states or other countries.
Like a test market or something?
But it means something to me because that's where it starts.
Agreed.
And then it ends up here in Los Angeles. And then it means something to you. And I get it to you early because I'm the Fast Food Report.
KROQ 106.7 FM, through the magical wonderment of radio airwaves, brings you the Fast Food Report. With your dude with the lowdown on chain restaurant food, Jensen Karp.
Pooped my pants.
He'll get his hands dirty with grease and face covered in cheese. He's your direct line to delicacies and calories. He's Jensen Karp. Take it away, gumshoe.
Oh, thanks, Omar. I am the dude into fast food, the czar of the QSR, the catch-all of cholesterol, and the fried daddy of fat. And I'm ready to bring you the fast food report. Now, recently for Dave the King, and I do want to point out that having mug sit in here while on the squeeze juice cleanse seems
is quite funny.
Torture.
Seems mean. Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't like fast food. Oh, wait.
Wait a minute.
He loves it. That's the reason we have him on a juice cleanse. Muggs, do you think you can handle the fast food report?
I'll try.
Okay. Now, recently for Dave the King of Mexico's birthday, we decided to order breakfast from a restaurant of his choice. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yep.
And with all the foodie catering spots here in Los Angeles, we are in a mecca of good food.
We said anything.
Anything you want. And he picked one of his favorite delicacies, 7-Eleven pizza. He did, for reals. And now it seems that they understand Dave's early morning food fetish because they've introduced the personal-sized breakfast pizza.
Mm.
It's a personal-sized 5 inches because they know that you won't be able to find someone else to eat it with you. But the breakfast pizza features a flaky biscuit crust topped with creamy white gravy, scrambled eggs, sausage crumbles, bacon, ham, and a blend of mozzarella and cheddar cheese.
Any baby powder?
No baby powder.
Wait, did you say gravy?
Gravy, scrambled eggs, sausage crumbles, bacon, ham, and a blend of mozzarella and cheddar cheese. Wait till I tell you the price.
Okay.
$2 during breakfast hours and prepared by request at other times of the day. So, I ask you a question, something weighing heavily on my mind. 7-Eleven, wake me up with a slice or cut open my scrotum with a very sharp knife. The breakfast pizza, eat or beat us through alley.
I don't have a scrotum. Does that count?
It counts.
I don't want it. No, beat it.
All right, Kevin, the breakfast pizza.
I mean, honestly, it's worth a try, right?
Okay.
It's $2.
$2.
Yeah. Okay.
Hold the gravy.
Muggos, juice cleanse boy.
You had me at creamy white gravy. Wake me up with a slice, baby.
Very good. All right, moving on. While we're talking about eating fast food alone in your car, let's go over to the Fast Food Report favorite, Jack in the Box. After a successful 3-city test last year, the franchise has nationally launched Tiny Tacos.
Oh.
Tiny Tacos.
Tiny Tacos. Now, keep in mind the Jack in the Box tacos have a cult-like following.
Oh,
they are
so good.
Very
so
popular
good.
And very good. So they've taken this crunchy crowd pleaser and put it in a smaller snack-sized format. They are almost the size of a playing card. And they'll come with avocado lime sauce for tiny taco dunking.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you're hungry, because a 15-pack of Tiny Tacos... $3.
Oh, yeah.
$3. While loaded tiny tacos, okay, it's the same thing, but they come topped with cheese, lettuce, and taco sauce, carry a suggested price of $4.
Wow.
Dollar more. So, both seem like steals to me, but that means I have a question for you. It's one that we have to address here as a show on the radio. Yes, little tacos, that's what I need, or show me a picture from when I was conceived. Jack in the Box, tiny tacos, eat it or Beatles, now come on!
I want the $3 ones and the $4 ones. Yes.
Muggos?
This is a first, Jensen, on the Fast Food Report.
Oh, no.
I have already had the 15-pack. Before my cleanse, I said, I got to do it. Because I order these tacos normally.
Oh, yeah,
and
they're
so hard to eat while you're driving.
Yeah.
Yes. But the tiny tacos are, oh, mamma mia.
Wow. Someone before his cleanse really sacrificed his body.
And he went to New Mexico to fight it.
No, they're here.
They're around. Kevin, is it? Yes.
No, it's Allie.
It's Allie. Allie, go for it.
Absolutely.
All right. Tiny tacos.
Yes.
Now, over the past few reports, we've seen some wild concoctions come out of South Korea. It is a true fast food testing ground. Area 51 for QSRs, if you will. So now KFC is getting wild. Testing in South Korea, the Fallen Cream Cheese Zinger Burger. That's the name.
I'm sorry, again?
The Fallen Cream Cheese Zinger Burger. Now, okay. Other than the idea that this might be the worst named meal in the entire world, the Zinger features a spicy seasoned chicken breast with spicy sauce, all topped with deep-fried sweet cream cheese balls on a sesame seed bun. Now, before you ask, I have the answer. The press release says, sweet cream cheese balls are, quote-unquote, soft and chewy like cotton candy. You didn't see that coming.
No,
it's available a la carte for $5.52 and also in various discounted meal combos. But I ask you this, with that knowledge that I've given you, dip me in cream cheese like it's cotton candy or force me to French kiss the corpse of Jessica Tandy. The Fallen Cream Cheese Zinger Burger. Eat it or beat it. Mugs on the juice cleanse.
I think this is the thing that could unite the two Koreas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead and eat it.
Allie? The singer?
I didn't know Jessica Tandy was dead. Jeez. I just looked at
her. Yeah, for a while.
94.
Yeah, for a
yeah.
while.
That sounds disgusting.
Beat it.
Beat it with the zinger.
Yeah.
Kevin?
You had me at soft and chewy balls.
You always do. Let's stay in South Korea, which is such a fast food heaven. I'm asking K-Rock to send me there for a week of reporting. It's time we walk into the American tradition, McDonald's.
Okay.
Now, over the past few years here in America, McDonald's has kept it rather safe, mostly focusing on cleaning up their menu or offering new healthy options on the side. But in South Korea, well, they're manipulating the menu the same way Tom Morello plays the guitar. Let me debut the McChicken Mozzarella. Now, it's basically your standard McChicken, a favorite amongst Mickey D heads, but now it's stuffed with two mozzarella sticks and spicy arrabbiata sauce. So, chicken, sauce, sticks.
It's like chicken parm.
It's like chicken parm.
Yeah.
Lettuce, mayo, sesame seed bun, no price listed online, but yes, the chicken sandwich, cheese sticks, that's all you really need to know. I'm sorry to not be able to give you all the information you need for this question, but I still am legally forced to ask it.
Are you?
Yes. Chicken and cheese, I'll give them the credit, or talk to Dr. Drew for 6 hours about our homeless epidemic. The McChicken Mozzarella, eat it or beat it, Allie, you answer.
I'm eating that all day. Sounds excellent.
Kevin?
I'm eating that all day. Sounds excellent.
All right, Muggs, I feel like that was not an original answer, but it's time for you on your juice cleanse to tell me what you think.
I said this after the tiny tacos, mm-hmm. but Mamma Mia, yum, yum.
All right, okay.
You know you're not Italian, right?
Really? What?
You know you're not Italian. Oh. Okay.
All right, here we go. I don't know much about it, but I do know one thing. We do not talk about Hardee's enough on the fast food report.
Okay.
Sure, the closest one to LA is in Oakwood, Illinois, and it's basically a Carl's Jr. with the same logo and everything, but it deserves some love. So let me introduce you to Hardee's newest breakfast item, the prime rib and fried egg biscuit. Okay. Currently only in Tennessee and Florida, it features sliced prime rib, Swiss cheese, and a fresh cracked fried egg on the chain's signature made-from-scratch biscuit. Available starting at 6 a.m. Yes, it's a very aggressive way to start your day, but it's only at select locations, so I ask you this. Although not at all geographically possible in reality, I ask. Fried eggs and prime rib right off the bone or spend 24 hours passing kidney stones? Hardee's prime rib and fried egg biscuit, eat it or beat it. Look at you, Kev.
24 hours with the kidney stones. No,
ooh,
thank you.
Beat it.
What?
Gone. Wow.
Nope.
All right.
Wait, why?
I'm surprised,
why?
To be honest with you. I thought you'd want the prime
wow.
rib in the morning.
I like, what was the cheese?
Well, it's a lot of cheese, but... It's features prime rib and Swiss cheese.
Okay.
Yeah, and a fried egg.
Yeah.
Muggles.
No thanks.
Look, I think I'm just saying yes because I'm on a juice cleanse.
Right, you'll say yes to
anything. Yes.
Okay, fair enough. Allie?
I'll try it. Yeah. Why not?
All right, last one. We need a bit of a palate cleanser. Let's give Muggs something that will be a little more acceptable after he finishes squeeze. Let's make the trip over to Chick-fil-A, who just the other day
Chick-fil-A
launched a brand new side to their menu nationwide. So now, along with your spicy chicken sandwich, you can order waffle French fries or kale crunch salad.
Oh, F you.
Now, Kevin, it's not fish. It's a blend of kale and cabbage tossed with apple cider and Dijon mustard vinaigrette and topped with salty, crunchy almonds. Only 120 calories per serving. It can be substituted into any meal for no cost and gives visitors a brand new healthy choice. So I ask you, now that you've heard this, you hear this. It's a question. I'm into the kale, put it down my throat, or I'd rather see Def Leppard's drummer jump rope the Chick-fil-A kale crunch salad, eat it or beat it to Kevin!
I'd like to see the jump rope.
beat it.
I'm not interested in the food.
Muggos, kale seems right up your alley. Right?
You know what? This is right. Put it down my throat. Put it down my throat.
Oh, listen to this. Wow. Squeeze has changed his life.
Yes.
Wow. I have never had Chick-fil-A, and I will continue never having Chick-fil-A.
Beat it.
Beat it. That's it. That, yeah. You've heard it. That's the report. And you'll wait till next time for new Fast
Food. Signing off for KROQ 106.7 FM. That was the Fast Food Report with Jensen Karp.
I've never had a crowd chant my name. It's never been a thing.
You know what? We can try that this Saturday when we go to Ping Pong Bing Bong. Just keep Kevin Ryder.
Nope.
All right. Fair enough.
Just seem weird.
Okay.
CM Punk is here.
Yeah.
Well, why am I here?
Last time he was here, he left this building with us saying, someone pay him money. We were almost pleading with different companies saying he's a free agent. Everyone was sort of scurrying to figure out what he wants.
But we wanted that so that we could get the 10% or however
correct,
much, 15%.
Which he knew coming on the show
20%,
he was liable
whatever.
For. Yeah. And now, here he is, an employed man by Fox Television.
Weird.
Well, I mean, I'm not putting two and two together, but I'm
That was one of those things that I couldn't talk about at the time because I'm very much somebody who won't speak about stuff until it happens.
Yeah,
you don't want
right.
to jinx it.
Well, it's not even jinxing it. It's just so many people out there talk about stuff. Oh, I got this going on and I got this going on, and then it never happens. And then everyone's like, hey, what about that thing?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it fell through.
And I think because of that, there are so many people that are trying to guess what's going to happen with you.
Yeah.
And so now you are a analyst, kind of a co-host who comes probably about once a month, who shows up on Fox Sports WWE Backstage, which is kind of like a recap show in the same way they do for NFL games, but they do it for WWE programming. And this, you stopped watching wrestling for how long before this job?
I didn't watch wrestling when I was wrestling. I mean,
I
you
had
guys
no
listen,
idea what my storyline was.
You guys listen to morning radio, you know?
That's true. Like, yeah, you don't bring work home with you.
No. Yeah, there's so much content, and I'm finding that out now. But Fox does a super good job of sending me links with like everything. Here's a link. You can download it. You can watch it when you're on the plane.
Yeah.
You can, you know, so I can kind of ingest it all at my own pace, and I really need to.
Nope.
Sometimes I can't do it.
It was a surprise to the group of people that were there that you walked in, right?
Yeah.
And then how did they respond to you?
I mean, nobody.
They were happy. It seemed like they were happy.
I didn't get hit in the nuts or anything like that.
That is new for you at your work.
That's the line.
Yeah, it was good. When I was wrestling, I always hated lying to the boys, and they loved to do that. They loved to like hide people in buses or SUVs and like not tell you what was going on. And there was a couple of instances where I was actually in the ring and they were just like, hey, something's going to happen.
And that's it.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, I'm out there. I have to react to it. And they're like, no, don't do that. Well, you're
just gonna stare.
Yeah,
that's kind of the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
What am I supposed to do? Yeah, so you know, I
you were that in this case.
I was, and I absolutely hated it, but I also understood, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't affecting anything really. It was at the end of the show. Everybody was happy. Everybody's surprised. I mean, Samoa Joe was there. I have history with him. He loved it.
I love your chemistry with Renee Young. You
She's
guys
great,
seem like
she?
You are. Good friends.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
I love that.
We are. And honestly, I think all wrestling fans, if they're stoked that I'm even back in this capacity doing this show, they owe a debt of gratitude to her. Because
really?
I don't think it would have happened if it wasn't for her.
Her
Is that
hosting
right?
it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting.
Absolutely. I was talking to Fox for a very long time, even months before I saw you guys last time I was here in studio. And they, you know, like immediately got like Renee on board. Renee was, me and her just were having conversations every day.
Yeah.
Like, this is how we feel about it. She's like, no, I understand that. Here's how I feel about it. Here's my vision.
Because she
it.
Has a bit of ring fatigue as well. She was a commentator that didn't necessarily like her job. She was doing the ringside commentating. Mm-hmm.
I don't think she would get mad if I said 100%. She had ring fatigue. And now this is it's a loose show. Where she gets to still be in the wrestling space. Nobody's in her ear yelling at her. And we still are working on trying to make the show what we envision it to be, you know? But yeah, I think she's a great voice for the whole space of wrestling. And she gets it. And that's what she excels at, like hosting. Mm-hmm. Man, she's so good.
Yeah, and she makes everyone around her better, which is something that a lot of hosts can't do. And it means you're really good at
Can't or won't.
And she can control me. You know, she can. She can.
No, seriously, though.
Sometimes,
if she wasn't there, sometimes I think, man, this would really go south. She can control the room. You know.
Yeah maybe really Booker T doesn't have quite as much restraint as Renee Young gives you.
I don't think they worry about Booker. I think they worry about me.
Sure.
What has it been like? I mean, I think that was the question everyone asked. What does CM Punk think of wrestling in 2020?
It's wild. There's a lot of it.
There is
There's so much wrestling.
The one thing when we talked about a little when you were thinking about taking the job, the one thing I did think about is the stuff you were praised for, the kind of like indie wrestling that you brought up was special because it didn't happen a lot. And these moves that were like, these are crazy moves, happen every couple seconds now. It's almost like a Wild West circus.
It's a lot. So I'm like the old grizzled, you know, hitting coach that the new baseball team hires, and I come in and I'm like, oh man, these guys don't even know how to swing a bat. Like, what are they,
these damn kids.
What are they doing? Like, you don't need batting gloves and the elbow guard and like, what? Come on, just let's get back to basics. Like, what are y'all doing? But
sure.
But I understand it's not. It's not for me.
It's a different game.
It's not my generation. It's a completely different game. And there's good and there's bad.
And you're not getting antsy watching to get back in the ring.
Oh, no.
You're getting antsy for other people.
I get uncomfortable because I'm just like, oh, come on, just... Right. No, you know.
Because Vegas odds having you entering the Royal Rumble is the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
I think anybody who bets money on professional wrestling
is an idiot.
Just come talk to me.
Yeah.
You know?
You have a true gambling problem.
That's really weird.
I feel bad for your children, I think.
Yeah, and speaking of gambling, I mean, the Super Bowl is coming up.
Yeah.
And like the prop bets for that is just...
Oh, we've done the national anthem before, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
the over-under on the national anthem is where it starts for me. And it's,
but that's,
you're just going,
but that's something
slow
that,
down!
That somebody knows exactly like how long that
you're saying, they've been in rehearsal
the average or whatever.
Yes, yeah. if somebody was smart, they could maybe make money on that.
That was CM Punk, Phil Brooks saying that, not any of us. We will not be betting on it.
We need to take a quick break. CM Punk is here. He's on WWE Backstage on Fox Sports 1 on Tuesdays, and we'll take a break and come right back. CM Punk, who has joined us as well.
I guess our thing was when you were here, and then a lot of fans who watch wrestling, it's like they know of the history between you and WWE and sort of the ups and downs of it. And now you don't work for WWE, you work for Fox.
Yeah.
Explain to me why that was something you wanted to do over going back to WWE.
Well, I mean, Fox approached me. Mm-hmm. You know, I think over the summer, big wig Fox executives like flew to Milwaukee to when we had this clandestine meeting, you know, in like some hotel where I was just like, they wanted to talk to me.
Were the lights off?
Yeah.
No, it was in the morning.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
But like, I guess what I'm asking is you could technically wrestle for other people if you wanted to.
I think if I was wrestling for AEW, I'm sure Fox would be like, well, it was fun while it lasted. I think if that's where you're going.
They
would say, meet us in Milwaukee.
Technically.
Imagine Punk sitting, you know, shows up at an AEW event. I mean, it would be mind-blowing because you would assume he's not employed by WWE.
Yeah, technically I could do that, yeah.
Huh.
But I'm pretty sure Fox would be like, well.
Yeah. Now we're calling it a day.
Yeah.
What a weird business it is, because you're on Tuesday nights and Sunday night is a big event and stuff changes daily. It's like, how do you even
minute to minute
with it?
Yeah, you never know when somebody's past tweets are going to get uncovered and they're going to be like, well, we can't push
can't
him
push
anymore.
Yeah. Well, I did see yesterday you praised a guy who I think is really impressive, this guy Keith Lee.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know anything about Keith Lee outside of knowing that he was in PWG. That's the hot independent promotion in SoCal. And having watched what he did at Survivor Series, my thing's like, why did he go back to NXT?
He's 300 pounds? He's got to be 300 pounds.
He's got to be every bit of 300 pounds.
He is so agile. He can do, like, flips out of the ring.
Those people scare me. He's 300 pounds that can do flips.
Athlete, by all accounts. Wow. He's incredible. But that's a guy who stood out for me as well.
Yeah. And regarding that, sometimes I think just because you can doesn't mean you should.
True.
You maybe need to pull back on that a little bit. Yes. Like, you don't need to do it every match, you know? but, yeah, he was a guy that, like, they gave this rub to it at Survivor Series. And I'm like, just keep it going.
He's very good.
Yeah, keep it going.
MMA question, as you still do commentating for it, correct?
February 1st, CFFC, yes. Parks Casino in beautiful Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
And he's still able to do that with the Fox deal, which is awesome.
Wow, yeah. All right.
Who does McGregor fight next? And does it matter?
Who does he fight next, or who should he fight?
I mean, I guess both.
That's a very good question.
Let's go back and say, were you surprised by the fight against Cerrone?
Man, I wasn't surprised.
You
by
weren't.
It. No, I wasn't. I think Cowboy's a buddy of mine, but I think he's notoriously just a slow starter.
When that happened, that made sense.
I mean, he really is. It's not the first time this happened to him. The same thing happened. He had a lightweight title shot against Rafael Dos Anjos, and the same thing happened.
Oh, man.
It's just like Cowboy's that guy. Like, he needs to get punched in the face to get going.
You know what I mean? He needs to have
round one, like, in the locker room before he comes out. And it's just one of those things.
Back to Jensen's question.
All right, who should he fight and who will he?
He can really call his own shot.
Who do you want to see him with?
I want to see him fight Justin Gaethje.
Right.
You know, obviously Conor thinks in terms of he wants to fight the big fight. He's not going to cut weight. He's not going to cut to 155 until he gets a title shot. I guarantee you that, you know, because cutting weight is miserable and he obviously doesn't need to. But there's a lot of big guys at welterweight. You know, Kamaru Usman, the welterweight champ.
That's what it seems like everyone wants him to go to.
That's a big dude. Yeah. That's a guy who cuts a lot of weight to get to 170. And Conor's probably walking around at, like, you know, 168, 169.
I was going
to
say,
cutting
it seems
any
like
kind of weight.
He's smaller than most of that weight class.
But I like that in MMA because I think people punish themselves. I mean, I walk around, I'm like 205 pounds, and like I cut to 170. And like I look at pictures of myself and I'm like, bleh.
You did look unhealthy as a friend.
Wow.
I was just like, oh boy, he looks
How do you
very
not lose 50% of your energy when you do that?
Well, yeah, I lost about 75% of my energy.
Also, his movie, which was honestly very good.
I loved it too.
I was ready to lie to him as a friend. I was going to be like, this really
terrible.
Good, man. I was going to lie.
Terrible.
I was going to lie to you.
He's
terribly.
He's saying he wanted to lie to you.
I would.
He likes you. I know.
But it was really good. Girl on the Third Floor is coming to Netflix February 22nd.
Yes.
This experience was still very high for you. Very good.
It's still rolling too. Yeah. You know, I mean, we just had it released on DVD and Blu-ray, so like obviously there's all these, you know, milestones and events that happen when a movie comes out. You know, it did good in select theaters, you know, it did the festival route and it did very well there. Came out on DVD.
Great genre
and all that
movie
stuff.
Yeah. Great
it's
genre
at Redbox
movie.
Right now, and I think you can rent Redbox stuff for like $2.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Very good. You guys should see it.
You gonna do more of that?
Yeah. My February is pretty busy. I got a CFFC. I'll be back on Fox February 11th, and in between all those things, I'm shooting another movie. This goes back to me not wanting to talk about stuff until it happens. This is happening.
How's that going?
So,
oh, sorry about
this
that.
Is, no, no.
It's happening.
This one's happening.
Okay.
He's the new Bond.
Is it another horror movie? I feel like you'd know.
Well, he's trying to think with the definition of it.
Yeah.
Anything seep out from the walls?
That's a great question.
They're gonna need an effects guy.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Okay. Excellent. Right.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Good. Yeah. Well, that comes out on February 22nd on Netflix, and there's the Fox Sports Show.
Yeah.
CM Punk.
Good
man.
Time. Do you still train?
All the time.
Will you ever stop training?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you love that part of it?
I absolutely love it.
Yeah, because you still like you really do train MMA still.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I would give up in a second. If I didn't have a fight or anything, I'd be like, pass the nachos.
Same.
Yeah.
But we're not fighters.
I train and then eat nachos.
Yeah, that's true.
But then you can get away with it because you burn all the calories.
Best of both worlds.
Yeah.
I have to train to keep up with my eating habit.
That is pretty good. So I guess you're not going to be in the Royal Rumble. I guess I lost all that money in Vegas betting 7-1 odds.
You know, Fox is great because Fox asked. And that's true. Yeah, that's a good
idea.
But
here's what I'll say. There's still a few days before.
Yeah.
But you're saying.
I'm just saying there were a lot of people online who were like, oh, WWE hasn't mentioned him.
Mm-mm.
Well,
hold on.
Maybe that means.
He just said they haven't asked. So
yeah.
You're leaving the door open that he's if always they do open to deal.
I said this last time.
I know, but I need it in. Say it again.
He's saying, I'll help him because
okay.
He doesn't want to say
no,
it.
No, I want him to say it.
All right, go ahead.
It.
He's already starting to drink like he doesn't want to say it.
He's already turning pinkish.
I know.
So you're saying if WWE asked, you'd be open to the conversation about coming back.
What's the deal?
Right.
What's the deal? I'm going to give you top dollar because I'm not an idiot.
You're Vince again.
I'm Vince. I am Vince. Let's do it again. Top dollar for Royal Rumble?
Millions.
How many millions?
I'm going to give you $5.5 million to come back for that.
Just for the Royal Rumble?
It's a one-off.
I'm sold.
Okay.
All right.
We'll see you then.
Do you run it, Ellie?
Yeah, I do. I do. A lot of people don't know that. Watch me walk in.
I don't got to win, do I?
No.
Because there's a winning bonus.
Yeah.
But we do need you to poop again.
There's a winning bonus.
My favorite CM Punk moment is when he pooped in the ring.
It's one of mine.
It's pretty great.
How can it only be one of yours?
There were other great moments, but pooping in the ring, number one.
That's pretty good.
Well, we'll see you at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah. See you guys there.
CM Punk is the best, everyone.
Thanks for coming. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
So 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin in the Morning with Ali and Jensen. Mm-hmm. Coming up, we're going to talk about your movie tattoos.
Yes.
Tattoos that you have based on movies. And Dr. Drew's going to join us in studio and take some phone calls.
Very excited about
that. Ask Dr. Drew.
Excellent.
So that's coming up first at 10 till the top of each hour.
Yes.
How should I say that?
Different than how you did it.
Yeah.
How about this time every hour?
About this time every hour.
Yeah. 10 till every hour.
10 till every hour.
There you go.
Hold on. I'm just finishing my tweet. Confirmed. CM Punk to Royal Rumble.
Very good.
Then in small font, for $5.5 million.
Right. Yeah. You got to tell them what they got to pay.
And then contact Ali McKay for more info.
You're the manager now.
Yeah, I'm told. I'm like Becky Lynch is the man.
Yeah,
I'm the man.
Manager.
A jur.
You're the Bobby.
I like it.
Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Oh my God, I'm so Bobby the Brain.
You are Bobby the Brain. Are you dead? Yeah.
Yeah.
That was more Paul Bearer, but yes, I'll. That would work also.
I'll allow it.
Yeah.
Oh, if people could see what I do instead of. What?
We do break the news on CM Punk stuff, and then it happens, so who knows?
We also make up.
Yeah. We make up the news, and then coincidentally it works out.
Yes, sometimes.
Good times. Mm-hmm. Anybody want to see Trevor Noah loud and clear at Pacific Amphitheater on Friday, June 17th? Of course you do. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you two tickets if you call right now, 1-800-520-1067, and just be caller 10. Two tickets to Trevor Noah, Friday, July 17th.
Like the call now.
Oh, I mean,
well, all right.
Liam told you.
Yes.
So do it.
Do it.
Enjoy that show. You guys, this cast is really coming together. American Crime Story, Impeachment.
Yeah.
Billy Eichner is joining. He's going to be playing the role of Drudge Report founder.
Which I love. Great casting.
So very
That's
much.
Fun. Great casting.
They're the ones, of course, that first broke the news of the White House affair between Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky way back on January 17th, 1998. Playing Monica Lewinsky, Beanie Feldstein, which is, again, great casting.
Mm-hmm.
Clive Owen is playing Bill Clinton. And Sarah Paulson is playing Linda Tripp.
That is bonkers. Sarah Paulson as Linda Tripp is bonkers.
That woman can transform into anyone.
Yeah,
I don't doubt. Like
She's amazing.
By episode 2, I'll be like, that's Linda Tripp. That's for sure her. But it's Sarah Paulson. She is
They're
going
to have to
talented.
Ugly her up, right?
Yeah. Right. Yes.
Okay. Everyone hears you. Yeah, you're on the mic.
Okay.
Yes.
But yes, that is true. They will have
100%
to ugly her up.
100% yes.
Yes, okay. Right.
Absolutely. Have you guys heard about Jessica Simpson's memoir?
No.
Okay. See, you're going to feel bad for laughing.
Oh, okay. I'm happy that I haven't, but go on.
Because she has a new memoir coming out called Open Book, and she details some very sad things in it, including how she was abused, sexually abused as a child, starting at the age of 6 when she was sharing a bed with a daughter of a family friend. And she details telling her parents in the car, on the way home, her dad just looking straight ahead, not saying a word. Her mother saying, I knew something was happening. And then they never spoke of it again, which happens so much. And then you're left with that trauma, which Jessica says is what led her to drinking and pills. And I mean, we've seen the interviews with Jessica when we knew she wasn't herself.
Yeah.
And it's all stemming. Everything stems from something.
Yeah.
Like a childhood trauma that you don't get worked on, especially when your parents are quiet about it. They don't let you know that it wasn't your
fault.
Dad
didn't say a word.
No, well, we're just kept facing
it's kind of two
eyes on the road.
It's kind of two traumas.
Absolutely.
At that point. You have the sexual trauma, and then you have the trauma of not being heard
not
when you
being
come
heard,
out.
And then not feeling like you can trust anyone. Even your parents aren't backing you up and saying it's not your fault, that type of thing.
Yeah.
She said, when I finally said I needed help, it was like I was that little girl that found her calling in life again. I found direction, and that was to walk straight ahead with no fear. She said she hit rock bottom after a Halloween party at their home in 2017, and she got sober in November of 2017. Hasn't had a drink or drugs since. So
very good for her.
All right.
So see, you thought it was just going to be like, hey, tuna fish. Is that tuna?
Yeah, that is what we thought, yeah.
Whatever?
Yeah.
No, it's deep. It is deep stuff.
Very good.
That woman, I will say this about that woman. Her empire with the clothes
shoes,
and the
yeah.
shoes... We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars yeah. that people aren't even aware of.
Yeah, just she's, because she's not
exactly,
you know, a headline right now.
Yeah.
She's one of those women who her shoes would sell even if they weren't Jessica Simpson.
Absolutely.
At this point. Like, she just has yeah. a running shoe line.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hmm. Some of them are real cute heels, Jessica Simpson. I'm just going to say that right now.
Good. You're going out on a limb.
I'm going out
you
on
are
a limb.
Hot
very
take Jones.
Cute shoes.
Yeah.
You know who else has really cute shoes? And I had no idea. And now, honestly, I buy a ton of them because they're the most comfortable wedges I've ever worn. And when you're 5'2", sometimes you need a little wedge to make you look like a human being.
Or a lot of wedge.
A lot of wedges.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
Ruth Bader. RBG's wedges are a delight.
Who is it? Who has shoes?
Fergie.
Oh, really?
She has a line called Fergalicious.
Sure.
I'm telling you, they are the most comfortable, cute wedges. Every time I wear those shoes, people are like, I love those wedges. And I go, they are Fergalicious. And people are like, no, they're not. I'm like, yeah, they're Fergalicious. And people order them. I'm just saying, I'm doing work for you, Fergie. Send me some shoes.
Seems fair.
When you say these are Fergalicious, they know you're not giving it the adjective. You're
right,
giving
that's
them the company name, right?
No, I say these are Fergie shoes.
Oh, they're called
Fergalicious. They're called
Fergalicious. Because if you were walking down the street and someone was like, I like your shoes, and you looked at me, you're like,
Fergalicious.
They're Fergalicious. I'd be like, oh, boy.
Right.
Is a woman living in 2003 or whatever?
I'd follow it up with Amazeballs, and they're like, what is with
these
her?
These are bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Walk away.
I'm just saying, a lot of people have very comfortable shoes that you would probably not know.
Huh.
Okay.
So Jessica Simpson, great shoes. Fergalicious, great shoes.
That's a great update.
No, a lot of people don't. But just saying.
Just like,
there's like four people right now that just went, I need those shoes.
Honestly, there is some woman right now that's like, I need a pair of wedges. She's now Googling and she's like, damn, son.
Fergalicious.
Get a hold of those Fergies.
Hopefully Avril Lavigne has a shoe line too. Really hit that ear.
Oh, she passed away.
Oh, right. Remember? That's a new girl.
Yeah, the
Susan
new girl.
Or whatever. By the way, if you haven't Googled the Avril Lavigne conspiracy theory,
it's the best.
Take your time to just a couple minutes today to realize that people think that Avril Lavigne died.
Passed away like a decade ago.
And they replaced her with another girl, and they have a lot of proof.
Yeah.
And a lot of insanity.
Anyway, rest in peace, female. Whatever. She's gone now. She's gone.
Happy birthday to Tiffany Thiessen. We did find out the Amber is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Mariska Hargitay.
Yes.
What a delight. She's such a great actress.
Agreed.
Does so much in the world of domestic abuse and rape and just helping people. Not only is she an amazing actress on Law & Order Special Victims Unit, gong gong, but also an amazing woman.
Okay.
Frances McDormand. Boy, do I love watching her at award shows because
she's straight crazy.
She nuts. I love
she
it.
She rules.
And Tito Ortiz. He used to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening.
About an hour from now, it's Dr. Drew. He's going to join us in studio.
You mean we can ask a doctor any question for free?
Yes.
And he's going to give us an answer with his doctor brain.
With his doctor brain, yes.
And he has a lot to answer regarding this coronavirus.
He does, yeah. So we'll ask him that, but you'll also get a chance to call in and ask him questions as well. That's at 9 o'clock this morning. Right now, let's talk about tattoos that are based on movies.
Oh, yeah.
We found this out yesterday. We were talking about sad movie scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you bring up Burbs?
Well, I think we started talking about tattoo artists, wasn't it?
Yeah, Instagram, about 90% of their new clientele comes from Instagram.
And I had said that since the world has sort of run itself into chaos, I find a lot of comfort in following Instagram accounts, artists who tattoo, and I hundreds. I think I follow hundreds. And I have gotten tattoos based off just seeing them on Instagram. And one of them is a guy named Sean from Texas, who's an incredible artist, very followed on Instagram. And I was quick to go to him, and I didn't necessarily have an idea. But in his style, I wanted to do something a little dark. Okay. He has a lot of dark tattoos. And he had never seen the film before, but I said, I want you to do your take on the scene from this movie. And I acted like it was a classic, like I was going to say Citizen Kane. And instead I said, Tom Hanks is the Burbs. And so,
which I love, and I've never met another soul on the planet that loves.
Correct. So I now have a tattoo of a scene from the movie The Burbs, which is about Tom Hanks. He lives in a suburban neighborhood, and a new family moves in down the street, and he starts to worry and come up with kind of cockamamie schemes as to how they're killing people and they're murderers. It's a little like Rear Window, actually. It's pretty much the same kind of movie. But there's a scene where Tom Hanks wakes up. It's part of a dream, looks out the window, and sees his neighbors all dressed in sort of like religious cult cloaks, and they're digging graves.
Right.
And I have that tattooed on my arm, and we're going to tweet it out at Kevin Mornings and on Instagram so you can see the tattoo. But that's not really the full story.
What do you mean that's not the full story? You mean
I have other movie tattoos.
So 1-800-520-1067. We will take your calls as well if you have tattoos based on movies.
And the more obscure, the better, because yes. I'm about to tell you about my Defending Your Life tattoo, the Albert Brooks movie. Which no one even knows exists.
I know it exists.
Meryl Streep's in it. It's so good.
And it was good.
It's a classic film. And there's a part where you can eat anything you want in this universe. It's defending your life. It's in between heaven and there is no hell, but going back into Earth. It's like the afterlife.
Right.
Based on Albert Brooks's mind. And you can eat anything you want while in this judgment city, while they're deciding if you are going to heaven or moving on. And they go to a restaurant and a guy says, I'm bringing you 7 pies. Please don't bring me 7 pies, please. Because you don't get, you know, you don't become full or anything.
What's up?
It's a great movie. Great movie. Point is, I have a picture of the pie from the box that he takes home tattooed on.
How do you make that decision? Out of all the movies that exist.
These are my favorite movies. Those are my two favorite movies, Defending Your Life and Burbs. And also, I'm still thinking about what I can get from the movie Clue, my other favorite movie.
Wow.
I haven't had an idea, so I haven't had it tattooed on me.
All right, now you have a third?
I have Boys in the Hood Ice Cube tattooed on me. Okay. On my arm.
All right.
The picture.
I love Pretty in Pink. That's why I got the tattoo of Ducky just walking past Andy by the lockers. And underneath it just says, that's a very volcanic ensemble that you're wearing.
It's a very long tattoo.
Yeah, it's a long. It wraps around the arm. Yeah.
But neither.
That's how obscure this is.
I understand. I have very obscure tattoos. This I understand.
That's so weird.
I feel I've seen other people with movie tattoos. When we went and got Bean's tattoo,
yeah.
We looked through a lot of Nico Hurtado stuff online and in his books and stuff. And there were tons of he had Ace Ventura in there. Someone had a Jim Carrey portrait.
That's another bad choice.
I'm telling you, I feel like in the scheme of things, at least my tattoos can be other things. It's not just
I mean, I'd get Step Brothers.
Which, what's the...
I love that,
just
too.
Just the two of them.
Where he puts guys in their class photo
absolutely.
Or whatever?
Where he puts his balls on the drums?
That's
just the sign. There's got to be people, though, who have movie tattoos. I feel like it's a common thread between good tattoo artists.
Just the whole dinner scene of Talladega Nights, where they're doing the prayers
where she's
and stuff.
Playing your baby Jesus.
I mean, neither of you have tattoos.
No.
No.
But you're saying that if you were to look into getting a tattoo, last would be you wouldn't even think about movies?
No, I would think about Ghostbusters.
Okay.
You know what? Funny you should
and it was
say.
Okay, so she's a dog. That's what it was.
That would be amazing. I have thought about getting a tattoo, and one of my thoughts was getting the words from one of my all-time favorite movies, Harold and Maude.
Okay.
And it would just say, go and love some more.
That's a great tattoo. And also,
and that also doesn't need to be.
I was going to say, no one would need to know.
Right.
It's Harold and Maude. It's just a good tattoo. Destiny,
right.
Power 106, board up. Do you have a tattoo?
Yeah, I have music lyrics on my ribs.
It's Morrissey.
Joy Division.
Oh, okay. I'm like, it's Morrissey.
Nice. How did you work at Power 106? I feel like that wasn't a good connection.
They don't play a lot of Joy Division.
Not a lot.
No. But there are people do music a lot. But I think that, I do feel that as a guy who follows all these Instagram accounts, movies are a top pick.
I would think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. You're right.
Let's take some calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. JT in Pomona is up first. Good morning, JT.
Good morning, everybody. How are you doing?
Morning.
We are good. Thank you. Thanks for calling. You have a tattoo based on a movie.
Yes, I have Jessica Rabbit on my right arm sleeve.
Great film.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my God. Who Framed Roger Rabbit is
a
classic.
Movie.
It's very, still, yeah, still
it
holds
stands up.
Yeah, it still holds up. Wait, so it is a sexy shot of Jessica Rabbit, I'm assuming, JT?
There's no non-sexy shot of Jessica Rabbit.
Well, I don't know, the patty cake thing or whatever. I mean, what is it? Is she dancing, singing?
She is singing in profile, and yes, it is very seductively done. But I also have two TV tattoos as well.
All right. What are those?
Well, first, there's an obscure TV show from the early 90s, meant a lot to me as a kid, named The Adventures of Pete and Pete.
Sure, yeah.
And I have a tattoo of a redheaded woman on my left forearm to match the one of the main character's tattoos, and it is a redheaded woman named Petunia.
Okay.
I feel like we're learning a lot about JT and his love for redheads.
Redheaded right? women, yeah.
Absolutely, yes. But I also have another TV tattoo based on The Simpsons. Okay. It is the Stonecutters logo, which is a double-headed hammer, and I have it on my right butt cheek.
Oh, on your right butt cheek.
Wow, wow, JT. Right. See, I have Milhouse. I have Milhouse on
you
my
do,
arm.
That's
I do,
right.
Yeah, I do.
Yes.
All right.
Just like Homer Simpson's birthmark, yes.
Yep, right on the butt.
All right, look, I don't hate that. Let's do movies and TV. Why not?
I'm open to it.
So 1-800-520-1067. Everybody that's on hold, you hold on, and we'll get to you next on K-Rock. We're talking about tattoos that are based on movies. Let's go to Maureen in Diamond Bar just before we play a song. Good morning, Maureen.
Hi, good morning, party people.
Good Hello. Morning. What's your tattoo of?
So I am in love with the movie Back to the Future.
Good reason. It's a great movie.
It's great. I got a license plate. It says out of time. It's in Sailor Jerry style with two roses. It has a banner. It says, I was there because I got it on the day that Marty McFly and Doc Brown traveled to the future in their time machine.
This
October
is deep.
21st, 2015.
Keep going.
Maureen, yes. Go on.
You don't sound crazy at all. I just want to put that out there.
No, definitely.
I love this. I mean, now, do you have it spelled how it's spelled on the license plate? And does that confuse people that don't know what movie it's from?
Well, honestly, not very many people even know what the license plate is from. Even older people are like, oh, I don't even know what movie that is or where this is from. Like, how do you... I mean, I'm 25. Not that older people are like 40 or anything, but... I just think it's weird that not a lot of people really even know what it is. So I don't really get a lot of questions about
it. We're all trying to catch our breath. We're all very old. Sorry.
I like it. I like how deep of a dive she went on it. Like, I was there. It was the date of Marty McFly. Okay.
I was wearing a red vest, a puffy vest.
I love it.
It was me and my dog.
I almost made out with my mom. What?
1-800-520-1067. You got a tattoo based on a movie. Mel, hold on, Juan, Estefano.
You did it.
You did it, Heimer.
Nailed it, Heimer.
I don't feel like I did. Now, we are talking about you got a tattoo based on a movie.
Can I shout someone out?
Please.
Yeah.
Amanda Page on Twitter sent us a picture. She has a tattoo that just says, I'm going to heaven, Lieutenant Dan.
Oh, no.
It's just the text. Yep. I love her.
I
That's
love
the best
it.
Thing
That's
I've ever seen. That's incredible.
That's pretty strong.
Just the whole sentence.
Yeah, agreed.
God bless her.
Let's go to Angela in Long Beach. Good morning, Angela.
Good morning.
So you have...
How are you?
We're good. We're good. Thank you. Thank you for listening and holding. So you have a tattoo based on a movie.
Yes, I do. And a very interesting one because I'm a horror fan. I have a Freddy Krueger on my upper thigh and his scissor hands are pointing towards my crotch.
Is it like a warning? Like, hey, don't fall asleep down there.
It's yeah, pretty much. It's a nightmare. That's how I trap you.
Very funny.
It's a nightmare. It's pointing at her crotch.
Right.
And much like the movies, it only gets worse over time.
That is fantastic.
Thank you for the call, Angela. We appreciate that.
Honestly, why? She needs to send a picture.
To you, Allie.
You can cover your hoo-ha. That's amazing.
Let's go to Scott in Rancho Cucamonga. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, thank you. Got to have a tattoo based on a movie.
Yeah, I do. So I have this scene from Garden State where Zach Braff and Natalie Portman are screaming down the quarry. It's just portraits of their faces, like, on my right shin.
Okay,
my favorite movie.
I'm sorry, your phone cut out. I thought you said Garden State.
I did.
Okay, so my question is, because I actually stand up for Garden State. A lot of people look back on it and don't like it.
To
way
this day,
overhyped.
One of the greatest soundtracks.
See, I still stand by it. I think it's good. But do you have to defend it a lot, Scott?
No, not at all. It's actually, I mean, most people don't really know what it is, but when I tell them, they're like, oh, okay, it's like my most, talked about tattoo I have. I got a ton, so.
Did you say on your shin?
Yeah.
Like the shins! Like in the movie!
Oh my God, like the shins!
Is that on purpose?
Please tell us you thought about that.
Well, I mean, I was running out of space, so at the time, that's the flattest spot I could find, I guess.
Okay, it wasn't because the Shins became mostly famous.
If somebody gives you credit for coming up with the Shins,
take it, Scott. Of course.
I thought of that.
Yes.
Okay. There you go.
All right. Genius, Scott.
Took a minute, but okay. Mm-hmm. All right, fine. Let's go to Daniel in Norwalk. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How's it going?
Good. Thank you. What's your tattoo?
So I have a tattoo of the movie Goon on my forearm.
Wait, your phone cut out. You said Goonies?
No. Goon. The hockey movie?
The hockey movie. Sean William Scott. Yeah, Sean William Scott.
So it's about when he goes in to meet the team and the goalie shouts out, I have Percocets and don't touch my Percocets, pretty much. There's a bottle of Percocets on my forearm. And it's like two rules.
Daniel.
I mean, listen, that's from Goon, but it's also... It's regarding your drug addiction.
It's life. It's so when you're passed out, you go to the ER, they can see.
They get to see. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Bottle of Percocet. All right.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you, Daniel, for the call.
What is happening with our listeners?
I'm not sure.
That was barely a movie.
Let's go to Danielle in Long Beach. Good morning, Danielle.
Hey, good morning, guys. So my favorite movie is Clue, and I'm getting a full back piece done. What? And I'm getting a candlestick and a lead pipe and a wrench and a revolver, the whole works, different spots.
I mean, Danielle, I have been thinking about a Clue tattoo. I've been trying to figure out what I want from it. Are any characters or just the weapons?
I was thinking about Miss Scarlet and Mrs. White. Mm-hmm. But right now I'm just doing all the weapons.
Because I would love to get flames from the side of my Mrs. Yeah. That would be an incredible scene. I've thought of the chandelier. I've thought of many things. But I, you have to keep me informed on this because I do want to see what you get.
Okay, right on. We'll do.
See, there are other dweebos like me.
Thank you, Daniel. Oh, we never doubted that.
I'm not alone.
Let's go to Mel in LBC. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
A tattoo of that says "If you gotta go with a smile" from the Joker, mm-hmm.
the original
from
yeah.
Tim Burton's Batman.
Mm-hmm.
I got that. When I first saw the movie, that was about 10 years old, and it was just always a phrase that always stuck out.
Did you get it when you were 10?
No.
Oh, I wish. Dang it! That's what he said. I wish. Me too.
Perfect scenario. He would have.
That would have been good.
No. I was 10 years old when that movie came out, I saw that movie.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So mind you, that was my first time ever seeing a Batman movie on the big screen. And
sure.
The movie. Yeah. So it was just a phrase that always stuck out with me. Mind you, meaning to me, it just means like. No matter what situation you come out of, always leave with a smile.
Yeah,
no
it works
what.
Both ways. It works as the movie, and if they don't know the movie, it works as just a phrase or saying.
And whoever gave him that tattoo at 10 years old,
right?
I mean, that guy should be arrested, taken away.
Let's go to Juan in West Hills. Good morning, Juan.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
You have a tattoo based on a movie?
Well, I have a portrait of Heath Ledger's Joker.
Yeah, Joker tattoos are very common and popular, and I've even seen a lot on Instagram pop up of the new Joker.
I was going to ask about that.
Phoenix.
Yeah,
I've seen a lot.
We're actually big Batman fans. I do have a sleeve that has the entire, it has almost all the characters, all the main characters, which is like Batgirl, Robin, some of the new ones as well. So, yeah.
All right. Do you have the one where George Clooney has nipples?
No.
Okay, good.
That's probably the worst one.
That is the worst one.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin in the Morning with Allie and Jensen at 8:52 at 10 minutes before each hour. Allie does. What's happening? I just saw Dr. Drew in the hallway, too. He'll be in next.
Did he say...
I am Kim Kardashian.
He did.
Okay, good.
It was odd.
He's just been yelling that at people.
Everywhere he goes.
Very odd.
It was odd. That's how he greets people now.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
He just walks up to him and...
I am Kim Kardashian.
Shakes their hand.
You're not, but okay.
Right? Yeah. People question it. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's odd.
But he's going to be in the studio and you're going to be able to call and ask him questions.
I love it.
Which I feel like is something I've always hoped to be able to do, is just ask Dr. Drew a question my whole life.
Yeah.
But this isn't for you, though. You know that.
Oh, damn it.
Okay.
Maybe off the air you can ask a couple questions.
Okay, good.
But he will absolutely diagnose me for 5-6 different things off the air. Trust me.
Okay.
He does. He does that.
Yeah.
And then they never follow up.
Your brain was leaking and you didn't follow up.
No.
Listen, it's fine.
He says you're like, your eyes are messed up?
I have Anna Kournikova eyes.
Doesn't seem like
I don't think that's the right name.
Anna Skorviova.
I don't know.
Anna
I think Anna Kournikova is a tennis player.
Okay. Yeah.
It's weird. All right. Is what it is. And I'm not going to lie. About 20 minutes ago, I had both Destiny and Jensen look at my eyes, and I'm like, is one pupil bigger than the
other? That's what he noticed.
Because I'm screwed if he comes in and it's still happening. On a score, on the...
Doesn't matter.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Captain Marvel 2 is in the works, guys.
All right. Yay! I'm in.
I guess when you make $1 billion, you're like, how do we make more money? Mm-hmm. How about a follow-up? So here's the thing. It's going to come out maybe 2022, that's a potential release, but we do know that Marvel is moving the action from the 1990s to present day.
Okay.
And according to a Hollywood Reporter exclusive, they are saying that it's going to be helmed by a WandaVision writer by the name of Megan McDonald. So she's a rising scribe, if you will, and she is going to be taking over and penning the script. I kind of dig it.
All right.
Right?
I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Brie Larson, Samuel L. Jackson. What more do you need?
Yeah, I was going to say, since it's in present day, we'll probably see more crossovers. And
yes, I would assume. Good stuff. We talked about this early in the show, and I haven't gotten over it. I talked about how Priyanka Chopra is the new face of Crocs, to which Kevin said, oh, I get Crocs every year for my kids as long as I promise them not to wear them out of the house.
For Christmas,
I was shocked. It feels like something we should have known when we accepted the job.
100%.
That's like when you buy a house, I have to tell you that somebody died
there. Someone was murdered there,
Please, you need to tell me.
You murdered my view of you.
Because as everyone knows...
Oh, how's that possible?
It's an unsaid thing, but...
Every foot is like a story.
That's true.
I heard that.
We
that
need to know about yours.
I had no idea. And then I had no idea about the Crocs that you had that are like fur-lined. I had no idea that...
Very
that
comfortable.
Even happened.
Mm-hmm. Very comfortable.
So you wear them in lieu of like slippers.
Yeah.
Those are your slippers in the house.
And they look horrible. I mean, they're terrible.
What,
but they feel great.
What color are they?
Brown.
Oh, right. That makes sense.
I mean, that was a choice.
Do you not have gibbets? Do you have gibbets?
I don't have gibbets.
But
no.
You have
Dr. Drew about that when he comes in, though.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Do you have the sections where you can put gibbets in?
Little holes?
Honestly, I haven't looked at my Crocs that closely. I don't care.
They're on your feet. You don't know if they're the ones with
the
holes
or
the solid?
No.
Well, you look, because I'd like to buy you gibbet.
Okay.
I would love to buy you gibbet.
I will. You know
what? Both.
If he has
buy me Crocs.
If he has the Crocs with the normal holes in them, then let's get 4 gibbets each, and then he brings in his thing, and we put the gibbets in.
That would be delightful.
So please tell us, because if not, we're going to buy you the ones with gibbets.
It's the creepiest thing
but
ever.
But I do have to promise not to wear them out of the house.
Correct.
Okay.
Because it is an embarrassment.
Well,
but,
this is a work function.
Everyone that knows
it's a work function on Saturday.
On Saturday, if you were to wear them to ping pong, bing bong, your kids aren't going to be there. It's a work function.
So I can tell them I have to do it.
You have to.
Yeah.
So Saturday at 5, I'm going to come to Slide Bar in Fullerton.
Yes.
In Crocs?
Yes.
The people need to see it, and also your children understand its work.
And I feel like if people that are coming to the Slide Bar at 5 p.m. on Saturday in Fullerton, if you also have Crocs, wear
them. Yeah.
Let's make this a big old like Croc fest.
Are you going to get some?
No.
Jensen?
I was about to say, I saw some Guy Fieri ones, and I was like, these are pretty great. And so I would think about it.
Here's the thing. I don't wear slippers. If I wear anything on my feet, like when I get home, shoes come off, I'm a barefoot kind of gal.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I will wear a fuzzy sock if it's chilly. I would have no need for them.
So comfortable.
Really?
Yeah, so
it's going to be a real Croc fight on Saturday.
Everyone did?
Yep.
No, I don't see what he did.
Well, because it's chickens.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a word that's close. Yeah.
He just took the letter R out.
Yes.
Which makes sense because after us, a Cure cover band is performing named Curse because they added the S in their name.
Okay.
So.
All right.
It's all coming together.
It is.
Good for you. I hope you feel good about yourself. God damn it.
She is not pleased. Guys, a week after her split from Austin Butler, Vanessa Hudgens has been spotted out on a date with Kyle Kuzma.
Me likey.
Dude from the Lakers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's pictures of them dining in Brooklyn, having a nice little night, laughing, enjoying themselves. And then, last night, supporting him by going to see the Lakers play the Knicks. At MSG.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, this could be it, guys.
It's happening.
A week after her split of a guy that she dated for 9 years.
An NBA guy is definitely not a rebound.
No.
Oh, and it worked. Oh, I didn't even do it on purpose. Not on purpose. Don't file it. Not on purpose.
Wow.
Thank you.
It would have been better if, if it was on purpose.
I know. I was not going to do it. Do you think, do you have hope for Vanessa Hudgens and Kyle Kuzma?
Here's what I feel about Vanessa Hudgens, not knowing her at all. She is adorable.
Yes.
I feel that she stays out of the limelight. She's not one of those, like...
Not a tabloid person.
No, not a tabloid
person. She was. She dated Zac Efron in the early days, right?
Who knows?
I think so. And that was like a big deal back in the day.
Because of Disney thing?
Am I right? Does anyone know if I think I'm right.
I think so.
Wait, Destiny.
That is right. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Okay. She was a tabloid magnet. Then she decided to get out of it.
Okay.
And then... we're all good.
I just think she's lovely.
So do I.
And I want her to be happy.
Do you think this is it? No, I don't.
Okay. Well, someone's a hater.
No, I'm just saying.
Someone's a true hater. Yeah. Someone hates true love.
You both said the same thing about an hour ago.
Oh.
You didn't think it was going to work.
No, you don't date an athlete.
Yeah, no, you don't do that.
Right. Ever.
Everyone
and if you are going to date an athlete, you date a football player because they're in only one city for a short amount of time.
But then you have a whole different problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't date baseball players are in cities for like 4-day stints.
And they're fat.
And
they had the boring game. You got to go to the games.
Super boring. And happy birthday to Tiffany Thiessen, Tito Ortiz, Mariska Hargitay, and Frances McDormand. And that's what's happening.
We are joined for our weekly segment by Dr. Drew Pinsky.
Weekly segment,
Dr.
Yes.
Drew.
He'll be coming in studio.
I don't know about in studio, gentlemen,
what?
Ladies.
Oh.
Taking calls.
It took me
every week.
Los Angeles sucks.
Yeah.
Took me an hour and a half to get here.
That's why we're going to do it at 7 a.m. when it will only take you about 35 minutes.
I honest to God, I will do that.
And that's what we would have.
Occasionally.
Oh, man.
But I am delighted to be here. Last time I was in the studio, it belonged to Adam Carolla.
Yeah, true.
So,
yeah.
So it's congratulations, everybody. Good to see you. Good to see you.
We're going
to
take calls in a minute at 1-800-520-1067. People are calling for the contest for Pearl Jam, but they've already found a winner, so we're going to clear those lines.
You lost.
And we're going to take your calls on any topic with Dr. Drew. But in the meantime, can we ask him about coronavirus? Because
yes.
We are all going to die.
No. Oh, here we go.
Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew. Your name rhymes with poo.
It's a beautiful song.
Reminds me of the Hanukkah song I was in.
It's a beautiful song.
Yeah, I thought he was going to go with Jew there.
We are all going to die. Trying some new ones. All right.
I don't like that one.
Are we all going to die? What?
No, we're not all going to die. It is not SARS. That is a different thing.
It's a cousin to SARS.
They keep saying
it's
that.
It's a cousin.
I think what they're referring to is the ARDS-like syndrome. In other words, the inflammation that occurs in the small alveoli, the air sacs in our cells that get inflamed by the virus, that fill with fluid, and that puts us very much like the vaping syndrome. That's a similar kind of a thing that ends up people on a ventilator. This version of the coronavirus, which is a highly mutated version, seems to be able to cause this thing.
Ooh.
Coronaviruses are not uncommon. We've all had them. I think I had one a couple weeks ago. As a matter of fact, I was kidding about it, and then this story came.
Oh, boy.
And it's a particular version that is prone towards pneumonia
and
ARDS.
I hear there's...
Yes, that is serious.
I did hear they're canceling Chinese New Year celebrations in Beijing. They've, like, zombied off a city so that people can't come in and out. That doesn't... I mean, yeah.
Communism, what are you going
to
do?
I don't know. That doesn't sound like a normal cough and cold.
No, it is. It's a serious thing, and they need to take care of it in China. There's only been one case
there's
here.
There's been one that came here in Seattle.
Yes. There's
so
one
we're
here.
All going to die.
And here's my prediction. Yeah. My prediction is that it has been here amongst us longer and more than we knew.
Oh, no.
I do believe it's probably here, because we don't test for it. It's a very expensive test. You have to test out of secretions and blood. We just don't do that.
Right.
Somebody comes in with a bad bronchitis and a cold, we go, you got a bronchitis and a cold. Take fluid.
To me, that's the scary thing, is it presents itself as a cold.
I understand.
So you don't think maybe I have that.
I know. And so you got to stay close to your medical care, and if you start having a shortness of breath, or the coughing seems out of control, or if you get fevers and prostration, that kind of thing, go back.
Mm-hmm. It's harder to do when he's here.
But to the
we just stare at him while we wait.
It's creepy.
But to the point of that music, I do believe, I bet you it's here amongst us more than we know already. I bet you it is. And so we'll start to see a little breakthrough of a few more pneumonias sporadically here and there, and then it will be kind of a non-thing here, even though everyone loves making a big crisis out of it. And the Chinese are doing their due diligence to control it. They're doing it kind of the communist style, which is by controlling their population, and putting everybody in prisons for short periods of time. And but good on them for taking it seriously.
I think it is crazy, though, because he's always convincing us that there's a disease around the corner. This time, there feels like a disease around the corner, and he's like, don't worry.
Don't worry
yeah,
about it.
Yeah.
That's what the communists would do, by the way.
Total humble brag earlier. He's like, I think I had it a couple weeks ago. All right.
I'm still coughing. The hipster over here. I had it before it was big.
Yeah.
I knew about the coronavirus before anyone else
I was kidding my wife about it. We have friends that had been to China, and I went, you know, they got a coronavirus coming over there. It's like a month ago. And my wife took it and ran. She said, I've got coronavirus.
Of course.
You gave me coronavirus, our friends.
So. That's it. That's the only one that's a small one.
That's for a very minor, suspenseful thing.
But what I hate, and the reason, Jensen, you bring this up, is but I hate fake news.
Yes.
And so when they over-amplify things they should not be overstating and understating things they should, I go a little crazy.
What are some of the ones like this, like bird flu and like all those?
Killer bees.
The things that the press has gone crazy.
Yes.
Almost every medical headline. Almost every single one. There's no such thing.
It's exaggerated by crazy.
The headlines, particularly, are miles off the truth. And there's something called Gelman amnesia. Did I explain this to you guys once before? Oh, it's awesome.
It's when you forget who the character actor Brett Gelman is. No?
It's when you forget the guy from.
From Fleabag.
What's his name, Gelman?
Brett Gelman? Oh, from Regis and Kathy Lee also
and
works.
Lee.
Both
work. So right. dumb.
That's the producer. I know him personally. Okay. But anyway. What was I talking about? Gelman amnesia.
Yes.
So Mr. Gelman,
you
Dr.
Forgot.
Gelman,
that's
was,
funny.
A,
forgot.
Was a physicist. And he every time he read news about physics in the press, he would just go, oh, my God, there are a million miles. This is fake. There are a million miles from getting the truth here. And then he'd proceed to read the rest of the paper and assume that was all accurate. Well, the fact, they call this now Gelman amnesia. The fact is they got everything just as wrong. It's just you see it glaringly if it's a story about you or a field that you're an expert in, you see how far off the truth they are.
Got it.
And so it's called Gelman amnesia. Be the object of the press sometime. And like 2 weeks ago, I was on Corolla and I went, I just sort of musing about this Adam Schiff thing I was talking about. Mm-hmm. Next thing I know, press comes in and goes, I want to interview you about this. And I said, I will not do it because you distort every word I say unless you transcribe my words, which she did. Mm-hmm. And I said, I am not running for Congress. I understand. It was just something I felt morally mobilized. Seven other outlets took my words out of her press
saying
release,
I am not running.
Saying I have no intention to run. They all said he's running for Congress.
Yeah. I mean,
they didn't check with me. They didn't check with the woman.
I really voted for you.
Having said that, you are running, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's the weirdest study in like neurolinguistic processing and how fake news works. It's like people hear Congress running. Anything in between they don't hear.
Right.
Yeah. And I am not running does not register.
Yeah, but that's what politicians say.
Yeah.
Oh,
right?
You can ask him directly if he's running. Every question could be that over and over again.
No.
But you could call in for Ask Dr. Drew. You get to ask a question to what I think is the most famous doctor in the world.
No. I have a quick question to ask you that a gentleman named Tim tweeted in. He said, can you ask Dr. Drew, what's the age for a guy to get his prostate checked? Nowadays,
40 if you have a first degree relative, and by just prostate check, also the PSA, which I think is critically important. There's a little controversy around that, but I am squarely on the side of screening with the PSA blood
test. I don't know
what
that is. I'm sorry.
Prostate specific antigen blood test, which is a tumor marker for prostate cancer. It's how mine was detected, even though mine was still normal. It had jumped quite a bit, but it was still normal. But my physicians used good judgment and kept looking into it and found the cancer. So 40 if you have a first degree relative with prostate cancer, 50 for everybody else.
Okay.
Kevin, you doing it?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, thank you.
I just
Every
turned
day.
40, but I have no history, so I will wait.
No family history.
No family history.
And if you're of Norwegian descent or Scandinavian descent, I'd look into that, too.
Look at me.
Yeah, he looks very Viking.
I look like a bagel.
If a bagel had a face.
Yeah, trust me. I'm not Scandinavian.
So Ask Dr. Drew is the segment you can call on any topic, right? Any question
that
they want to ask Dr. Drew.
It's going to be love line, I'm sure.
Ask Dr. Drew, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take a break and we'll come right back. Dr. Drew, today in studio, we're doing Ask Dr. Drew. I have one question for you, then we'll go to calls.
All right.
What is the most common question that people ask you?
Well, because
is there one?
Because of Loveline, it's males asking, is this fill-in-the-blank normal?
Oh, I see.
That's the most common thing.
And so wiener questions.
Usually surrounding that part of the body. Usually that. There's a very deep preoccupation with the young male. And interestingly, that seems to be sort of almost a neurological connection. A lot of people aren't aware that when males come out of comas, the first thing they start doing before they're conscious is working with that part of their body.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, it's kind of a common thing because they're this highly present circuitry in the male
biology. If they're
biology.
Still sort of in a coma, are they able to
complete?
No, that's not what they're doing.
Okay,
really.
I'm just saying. I don't know.
It's just making sure
it's still there?
It's just some sort of connection because it's an important present biological force.
Wow.
And right. Even when they're unconscious. So here you go.
Wow. Hmm. Let's go to Mike in Mission Viejo. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Kevin, Allie, Jensen, Dr. Drew. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good. Thank you for holding. What's your question?
All right, Dr. Drew, I've been having chest pains on and off for about the last 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. Had multiple EKGs, all negative. Seen a cardiologist.
How old are you?
Stress test.
How old are you? 30.
34.
And have they done any kind of pulmonary workups or CTs of the chest or anything like that?
Yes, I've had a full pulmonary function test done and was diagnosed with COPD and emphysema.
Ooh, mildly. So you're a smoker?
I quit about 6 months ago.
So the answer is yes. So smoking can definitely set you up for increasing the work of breathing, and that can affect the musculature in the chest wall, and that can sometimes cause chest pain. So it probably
like
is your... Well, it's not really pleurisy because that really means that the pleura is inflamed. This is the rib musculature is just sort of unhappy with the amount of work of breathing. So this is really about your COPD, and that's like chest pain with COPD is kind of common.
Wow.
Anything like exactly. I mean, humidifier being the dumb question, but is there anything that can help him?
Inhalers, steroid inhalers particularly.
Like vaping?
And exercise.
Not vaping would be bad.
But I'd rather him vape nicotine than tobacco. Smoke. If indeed he can't get off the tobacco, the gum would be a preferable thing to the vape with his COPD. But exercise, pulmonary rehab, very, very important. Got so it. a lot of exercise, Mike.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's see. Let's go to Jacob in Alhambra. Good morning, Jacob.
What it do, Dr. Drew?
What up?
Well, I'd need that, please. Thank you.
What's your question, Jacob?
Okay, so my girlfriend had her gallbladder surgically removed, so she cannot...
Normally how it's removed.
That's not normally it's
got
surgical.
Got Jim in a van?
She just reached in. Just pulled it out.
Right.
And so she has noticed a lot of appetite suppression since then. She tends to feel very weak, but she feels a lot better after she eats, but she's not able to eat big meals. I was wondering if there are like any remedies or medications.
Kind of weird. Did she lose a bunch of weight before she had her gallbladder out?
She's always been very small.
Okay.
Like 100 pounds.
Is she any underlying medical problems? It's kind of weird for a young person to get a young thin person.
She had a bunch of I think kidney stones.
So interesting. So she's a stone former.
is that what they're called? Stone formers.
Well, stone farmer.
She's able to. I mean, that's an unusual thing for some. How old is she again?
23.
That's crazy. Wow. That is very unusual and stuff. So. Again, she has to, you know, that was a surgeon that took the gallbladder out. She should be working with a gastroenterologist now. And sometimes people after gallbladder surgery do need to adjust their diet, particularly their fat intake, because it changes.
For a while or forever?
Sometimes forever. It depends on, you know, again, a young person too, without that, literally the gallbladder squirts bile into the digestive tract so you can form chylomicrons and absorb fat. And that can kind of go through and cause diarrhea and upset stomach. So really she should be working with a gastroenterologist to adjust her diet a little bit.
Totally not normal for a 23-year-old.
No, all of it's kind of weird. Yeah. I would try to figure out what that's all about, too.
She is a stone former, though.
So, right, I love that song. By Snow.
It sounds cooler. It sounds cooler than it is.
It does, yeah.
Oh, you guys, here I'm a stone former. It sounds pretty sweet,
sure.
Actually.
Yeah.
Sounds like a superpower.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is not.
Joanna in Whittier. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Dr. Drew.
Hi, Joanna.
My father was just diagnosed with Parkinson's about a month ago, and he's on medication protocol right now.
Yeah.
My question to you, sir, is what to expect. Can someone pass away from it? I'm his primary taker.
How old is he?
So he just actually turned 92 in December.
So this is not necessarily even Parkinson's disease when it's with advanced age like that. It's sort of a Parkinson's syndrome oftentimes. It's part of the general, I would bet it's part of the general neurological decline of aging when he's at that age.
Parkinson's disease. So meaning there's not much you can
well,
do?
There's a lot of medication that will help. How is he manifesting? Slowed movement and a little tremor or something like that?
Well, both of his hands started to tremor a lot. He's got the Parkinson's stare. He does drool.
The doctor
diagnosed him and put him on medication. He's taking 3 times a day for it
and
now.
Is he also on, is he demented too, a little dementia?
No, not at all.
Okay, that kind of goes along with all this stuff. So that's the scary part. And you live in a time when there's a lot of good medication. I'm sure they just put him on, you know, Sinemet, L-Dopa, that kind of stuff to begin with. And there's a lot of other stuff to graduate to. And these even now really good implantable devices, almost like a pacemaker they put in the brain. They're really effective. And so there's a lot to be done, Joanna. But, boy, this is all about – this is the general problem of aging, as I look at it. To make sure there's a good geriatrician involved in his life, because services become a very important – men in their 90, no bueno, man. You know, men really – struggle.
I'm ready to tap out in my 80s. I've said that many times, because I think once you get into 90s,
it's tough bad news
men.
If a guy,
it's tough
right?
for men. Yeah, they're very unhappy oftentimes. And think
what
about it.
What a blessing to have your dad still at 90.
Yeah, man. That is great.
Thank you for the call, Joanna.
And a blessing for him that he's got this attentive caretaker, too.
Yeah, agreed. We're going to have to leave it there, unfortunately, but Dr. Drew, you want to talk about your daily dose? Because I was told.
Oh, yeah. I do a streaming show now on all the platforms, Facebook, Twitch, wherever you are. Periscope, and we haven't really settled on a time yet, but look for it. We also put out a blast at drdrew.tv. We do a show on Sunday at 3:00 Pacific, where again, it's a call-in show, just like this, and I've got calls and everything. I usually have a guest. I'm going to have the Papadopoulos and his wife this weekend, and they're a very interesting couple. They're so funny. By the way, if you know that story where they were accused of all kinds of stuff, and he actually went to prison for a while, this was during the investigation of the president being a Russian operative. And if you were going to cast a movie with a female Russian operative, you would cast. Wow. I see why it's stuck. Like, she can't shake it. Here, this woman's a lawyer. She worked for the president of the European Union, and she can't shake this idea that she's a Russian spy. But when you see her, you'll realize why. She's actually just right central casting. Anyway, it's everything's at drdrew.com, and I appreciate everyone supporting that.
And for reals, when you follow Drew, he was so ahead of the curve. We are going to be facing an election coming up where homelessness is such a high priority in Los Angeles.
Yep.
And Drew is on the front line of this thing. He said he was in Sacramento just a week
Tuesday.
All you got to do is drive around the city and see the tents that are up everywhere. It is an epidemic.
It's unconscionable. And these are my patients in the streets. They're all my patients. I know exactly what
to
do.
Doctor,
I know that. I know how they can thrive.
He hasn't started working on all of them. Okay,
My bad.
They're all lining up. That's what they're lined up for, Kevin.
Thank you, Dr. Drew. 106.7 K Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin in the Morning with Ali and Jensen. Time for one last look at what's happening.
So we just had Dr. Drew in, and we took calls for Ask Dr. Drew, which we're going to be doing weekly now, if he wants to or not.
According to us,
we are doing it. Mm-hmm. And I read a question from listener Tim from Twitter, who asked about getting his prostate checked. What age should you get it checked now?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And almost instantly, I got a tweet from Chris Burdick, who said, "You had a question for Dr. Drew from a listener named Tim, and it wasn't about not having a butthole." And you know what? You're right. I let myself down.
But still about his prostrate. It even seems like
we all failed.
It would have led us there.
We all failed.
We all failed. Mm-hmm. And Chris, I apologize. And for that, I will re-ask Dr. Drew my question. He is not here, but I will ask him, "Hey, Drew, I have a cousin that..." Let me just explain through song.
"My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber. My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber. My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber. My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber. What's the atomic weight of mercury?"
So
we let everyone down.
I'm sorry. I am sick.
You don't deserve it.
I am sick that I did that. All right, let's move on. The Hunger Games is preparing to reveal a prequel series, and some fans not thrilled. The successful Suzanne Collins franchise is getting a prequel based on President Snow. It is called The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, and it's out in May, and an excerpt was revealed on Tuesday. People read the passage, and immediately criticism from fans online on social media.
That's my favorite thing, is when they don't see anything yet.
Yeah. No. Already mad.
Already mad.
Yeah, well, they're mad because it's based on President Snow. Right. So here's one tweet. "You're telling me I waited years for a new Hunger Games book for it just to be a President Snow origin story?" Another one. "You mean to tell me I've waited years and pre-ordered the Hunger Games sequel for it to be a President Snow origin story about a rich white boy becoming an authoritarian who loves, checks notes, genocide?" Oh my God. People.
I think we may have set an incorrect precedence with the Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
Oh, you think?
Because now people think that they can sway creativity or something coming out because they don't like it. And that always made me fearful. Although Sonic did look better.
Oh, he didn't have human teeth. Everything's right with the world. F you. These people are nuts.
The fur looked better.
Come on.
The fur looked better.
I mean, it is true. But you shouldn't be able to change anything now.
No.
It's not for you.
Listen, if somebody makes art, you are able to like it or not like
right,
it.
Yes.
And then you move on with your life.
Yes.
You're not like, all right, here are my sketches for what I think Sonic's teeth should look like. Come on, people.
Didn't look better, though.
You're not helping.
You wrote a letter, didn't you?
No.
You signed something, a petition? You signed something.
No.
Don't lie.
You marched.
I got the teeth tattooed.
You marched. Yeah. You definitely marched.
I was in the Sonic March, yeah. Sonic March of 2019.
It was huge. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of mainstream media covered.
Picked it up. No. It's all fake news, truly.
Yeah, it happens.
Wait till they do the Tails movie. I'll be even angrier. Tails was his best friend.
I didn't get that either. And you know what? I'm happy neither of us did.
Yeah, Kevin and I looked at each other like, huh?
I feel like that's good. That's a good thing.
We won. Uh-huh. We won that round. Absolutely. Hey, HBO has ordered a 6-part music documentary series about music from Bill Simmons.
Nope.
The project is similar to ESPN's popular 30 for 30 film series that Simmons spearheaded. It's going to have a different director for each film. Each one will concentrate on pivotal moments or stretches for a popular artist or band, an iconic album, or the music business as a whole. You both poo-pooed this when I told you about it, and I think that would be really interesting to watch. If it's similar to 30 for 30, which groundbreaking, and those are some of the greatest docs to watch.
It wasn't the topic. It was the person behind it that worried me.
It's that Bill Simmons is running a music doc.
That's
it just seems like... I don't know.
Yeah,
Ultra dad, you know, white dad picking the music that we should figure out is iconic.
But again, I say to you, he's not hosting it.
We'll lead with that.
So we, I think we win.
Lead with
thank
that,
God.
Vivian.
Yeah, thank
in
God.
That. I don't believe he's hosting it. It doesn't say.
You don't even know.
I don't know. It's HBO. They learned their lesson.
Yeah.
He is not going to be in front of the camera ever. Ever again.
This song is about the 1994 Boston Celtics. I think it's great. This song is about the 2006 New England Patriots.
No.
This song is about the 1986 Boston Red Sox and Calvin Schiraldi.
Wouldn't it be amazing if it was just Cars and who else is from Boston?
Boston.
Mighty Mighty Bosstones.
The band Boston.
Is Boston from Boston?
I'd hope so.
I don't know.
We found a lot of glaring classic rock holes on this show that we don't know anything.
Is the band Boston from Boston?
You know how many people have Googled that? Keep going. They're from Boston, Massachusetts.
Okay.
Clearly, yeah.
That would be incredible if they weren't.
Yeah. The band Boston from New Orleans?
Yes! I'm not mad that they're from Boston.
Honestly, I would have been a bigger fan.
Yes, I'm very mad that they're from Boston. This
truly
stinks.
Would have been a bigger fan.
All right. Speaking of Boston, who will not be in the Super Bowl? New England is not in the Super Bowl.
No,
guys.
Right.
I don't know if that's news to anyone.
It's not, but all right.
Food is officially more important than the game when it comes to reasons for attending a Super Bowl party. Again, nobody except Madden players chuckle at that, and I don't even know if they chuckle.
I think it's funny.
It's just you and Muggs.
I know what that is.
Muggs?
There's no laughter. They just go.
Muggs' hands
of
go
course
up in the air.
Yeah,
he's so happy.
That's all you need to know. Is
oh,
that Muggs is
say
so
let
stoked.
Muggs say something.
Oh, jeez.
Not only Madden, mm-hmm, but every NHL game.
NBA
okay
game.
Every
okay
NBA game.
All right.
Every MLB game.
Okay.
E-E-E-E-E-E-E. Is the forefront for all sports games.
E-E-E-E-E-E.
That's EA Sports, Kevin. EA Sports.
But just with the E.
Yeah, I get it.
Just with the EA Sports is in the game.
Right.
Right. Thank you, Muggs.
Just letting you know.
That was worth it.
Worth bringing Muggs
well
in.
An important update.
You know
every
what?
MLB game.
We all right,
we
got it.
Every NHL game.
Right.
Has there ever been like a criminal case where the criminal goes, I don't need this lawyer anymore. You know what I mean? I feel like I was just defended by the wrong lawyer.
Yeah, you were.
Okay.
You insisted on bringing him in.
I did, and then I need new representation.
Dare you?
Okay, he's gone.
All right, he's gone.
Just cut him off. All right, so top reason for going, food. Next reason, simply being social. And then turns out less than half go to actually watch the game.
It's hard to watch a game at a party.
Yeah.
If you're
sure
really into a game,
for sure,
it's sort of hard to watch.
You're
that
usually
way
at home watching the game, mm-hmm, maybe with a couple friends.
It's more social.
Yeah, but not a party, for sure.
Yes. I wanted to give you that.
Thank you. I just said something.
What would be, you go to Super Bowl party, what's the food you're looking for most?
Well, you got to have an array of dips.
Oh, dips are huge.
You have to have usually like a 5-6 layer dip.
Great. Dip is huge, yeah.
You have to have guacamole dip. You have to have queso dip. You have to then, just for people, have ranch set out so people can dip, you know.
Sure.
Carrots.
Can I give you what I think about it, those kind of things? I'm nervous about double dipping.
Oh,
I want you to pull it onto the plate, then I'm
okay,
happy.
Yeah, you can put a spoon in there. You can have little bowls.
Thrilled.
Also, some of the best chips ever, those dip chips.
Love
them. They're actually like little bowls in themselves. Mm-hmm. Delightful.
They're delightful. I was just going to say
that. If someone at a Super Bowl party brought chicken wings, but then I can eat them away from other people.
Yeah, in a separate
like in another room.
Do you have a room I can go eat?
Do you have a chicken wing room?
Yeah.
And you walk in, it's like
it's
a Dexter
like
room
Dexter,
where it's all plastic.
That would be the greatest.
Jensen's sitting by himself.
Jensen's in like a full, like a totally different outfit that he puts on just for wings.
I'm showering wearing after hazmat. Every wing.
I'm wearing a hazmat suit.
You're ridiculous.
Oh, good times, everybody.
Do you have chicken fingers?
We hopefully will have chicken fingers at
I love
the party
fingers,
I go
sure.
to. What do you dip your chicken finger in, if anything?
Ranch.
Ranch?
Yeah, you got
also,
it.
Also, if you have barbecue, I'll throw it in.
Really?
Yeah,
for
a
chicken finger?
And also, if you got honey mustard, I'll talk about it.
Ooh.
That's, yeah, I'm not
there.
A honey mustard
I'm out.
Gal.
I'll discuss.
But ranch, for sure.
Yeah. I'll discuss any of those three. You know what I don't want on my chicken fingers?
What?
Ketchup. I think that's BS.
Oh, that's
oh,
nice, too.
I'll
like ketchup,
definitely
too.
Definitely do ketchup.
Yeah. Nah,
yeah.
For different foods.
I'm in.
That's
no.
not It's not a chicken finger condiment.
It can use, yeah. You can use it for different foods as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's a hamburger condiment more than it is for chicken fingers.
We have a lot of rules.
What about French fries?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Ketchup on French fries. I just don't think it's for chicken fingers.
It's totally for chicken fingers.
100%.
Yeah, well, right after ranch, ketchup.
Tomato, tomato.
Literally.
Yes.
That's what we're saying.
That's what we're saying, yes.
We're
down with you on that.
So dumb. And by the way, everybody, you can stop texting me about my Informer joke about snow, because it was great.
Wait, people are texting you to tell you it's bad?
No, they're like, are we just ignoring it altogether? No.
Meaning
they didn't,
we didn't call you on
you
it?
You didn't file it, so
no,
it's not fileable.
It's not fileable.
Yeah. What did Dr. Drew say? It's stone
a,
former.
That person's a stone,
stone
former.
Former.
And
yeah.
you
so
said
I
that said, was your favorite snow song.
Great song by Snow. That
not
is
fileable.
Genius.
Yeah, not fileable.
Right?
I don't think it's
can
genius.
We, can we all agree
no.
that it's
I'm not
genius?
Gonna, listen, I'm not going to agree. It's genius.
I'm
but
not sure we're going genius.
Can we
I will say,
agree to Licky Boom Boom now?
No one's agreeing with you. No one. No one's agreeing with you at all.
No one?
No.
Come on.
I mean, not really.
Right. No. But it's not fileable. Not
Why
fileable.
Do you keep ending things?
No.
Yes.
No fileable. Not fileable, but no genius.
So what's the rule? If we don't file it at the time, there's no retroactive
no, no
filing?
No, there's no
but
instant replay.
Sometimes we get tweets and stuff where people
oh,
point
people
it
are,
out.
People are irate right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
There's only those on Moments With, but you cannot, file has to be done at the time.
I think.
And I'll just say right now, you heard genius. Congratulations on your ears working. Some birthdays for you. Frances McDormand, Mariska Hargitay, Tiffany Thiessen, and Tito Ortiz. And that's what's happening.
Thanks, Ellie. At 5 p.m. tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin.
Yep.
Oh, yep. Go ahead and put that
going.
Up there.
Kevin in. I was saying Kevin in.
No, it's no.
The morning. I was saying Kevin
no,
in.
No, you weren't.
I was.
Or you wouldn't have stopped.
Kevin in.
You wouldn't have stopped
but I forgot,
dead.
I forgot about
you
the words the morning.
You would not have stopped
hey,
dead.
Son of a bitch.
We are up to 10 people. Double digits. Kevin, let's be honest. This is impressive.
Yeah, you're still doing great.
We Thanks. Came back January 2nd.
Right.
And only 10.
You're
still
talking to me like I'm a child.
I know. And you're doing a good job.
Tomorrow morning, we have animal stories. You eat non-food. We want to talk to you based on the woman today that eats baby powder.
Yeah, if you eat like sofa cushion, tomorrow's for you.
People are dumb. That's my jam music feature. And also keep it 100 because it's Friday tomorrow morning.